The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised. What do you think is going to happen if he keeps staring at him like that?
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Don't I, Brian Roberts, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello, everyone. It's 4 a.m. once again. That means it's time for the 4 a.m. podcast, where me and my friends watch movies from our past and see how they hold up to our older, more cynical selves. I'm your host, as always, Tony. Joining with me today is...
Brian.
I'm the alpha.
I'm the beta.
Wow. Can I be Charlie then?
Sure. No. Brian, you're the echo.
You're my boy, Blue.
But guys, that's right. The park is open. We did Jurassic World from
1950. This is our newest.
Yeah, I'm not used to saying 2000.
But yeah, 2015. This is only a couple years old.
2015, Jurassic World. We're branching out a little here, I guess. This is our newest movie.
Yeah, I think we did something that was like 2012 or 2010.
Yeah.
Well, what was Kong Skull Island?
Yeah, that one was pretty late.
Oh, that was newer, actually. That was last year.
2016.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then, yeah.
Or 17?
2017,
and, like,
yeah.
Dread was pretty recent, too. It was, like, 2012 or something.
Yeah,
like
Dread
that.
Was fairly recent.
Yeah.
I forgot about Skull Island.
I knew this was the last one on the list this time around, because they are in, order of date.
Yeah. Well, Skull Island was a 20. That was originally Jurassic World, and I changed my mind just to mess with you guys.
So some of y'all have already seen Jurassic World in preparation for that episode. Yeah. Now we're doing it now. So
what can I say except you're welcome?
But if you have something you want to say other than you're welcome, please write into the 4M podcast at gmail.com and tell Robbie sucks.
Go for it.
But this is, of course, directed by Colin Trevorrow, who brought us Safety Not Guaranteed, soon to be Jurassic World 3. Which is already announced.
Yes.
Wait, where's two?
Two is coming, by a different director.
Yeah, that's okay. The Fallen Kingdom that's coming out soonish, June.
Two is done by, I don't know who he is, but he's done a lot of horror movies in the past.
But he also brought us Book of Henry in the middle there, so.
I don't know what that is.
Nope, I don't know what that is either.
Yeah, for those of you that know, you know that's not a good sign.
Was Safety Not Guaranteed any good? Because I was interested in
it. It was
that,
all right.
But...
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
It's a decent movie.
Wait, do you know that's not a good sign? What? How?
Well, Book of Henry was a terrible movie, for those that are aware of
it. Well, we've already seen a movie that he's done just now.
Yeah.
So what's a terrible sign of what?
It's a sign that he might not be able to keep doing good movies.
Yeah, it means he's got a blemish on his record.
Oh, wow.
So does your face.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, I was more just getting into the fact that, you know,
he has
leave
more
this.
Than one blemish on his record.
I was leaving this to kind of mystery, yeah, to right. not just be like, you know, we're jerking off this movie the whole time.
Like, Rob has told us already he's jerking off this movie. Like,
yeah. And
don't worry, I will be poo pooing this film.
That's fine. So. I have. Do you see these notes?
Mm-hmm.
I have stuff to say, okay?
All right.
Joe has a lot of notes.
A lot of stuff. Joe has a lot of notes.
Yeah. But speaking of stuff to say, why don't you tell us about your history with this movie, Rob?
So I have seen this movie before. Full disclosure, I've watched this movie once earlier this week already. So I've seen it a few times, handful of times.
I believe I heard a rumor that you own an awesome copy of it on DVD. Or Blu-ray, in fact.
Two copies of it on Blu-ray. That's true. Someone in my family, who will remain nameless, but maybe at this table, got me the special edition that comes with the Fakasaurus Rex and the Tyrannosaurus Rex statues.
Ooh.
They're pretty sweet.
Brian?
I saw this in the theater when it came out, and I had a boner the whole time. And because I enjoyed it. It was a dope movie. And I got a little emotional while watching it at parts.
Okay. Joe.
Somebody told me the plot for this before I got a chance to see it in a movie theater, so I yelled a loud fuck word and avoided it.
Okay.
And then, yeah. It's my first time watching it.
It sounds like a Joe move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I saw this in theaters. I think I might have seen it since then, but I haven't seen much of it just because it's new and I haven't had that kind of access to it. but we watched it today. But yeah, that's our history of this movie, a brief history of the movie itself. There are, of course, a lot of nods. It functions almost as a soft reboot to the Jurassic World series, Jurassic Park series, I should say. But it is a continuation, and there's a whole lot of nods to the original. Mm-hmm. Little things and big things, of course, like things like her wearing all white, much like
Hammond
did in the original, stuff like that. But speaking of John Hammond, there is a statue of him at one point to honor both John Hammond, the creator of InGen and the Jurassic Park, but also to kind of honor Richard Attenborough, who unfortunately had died shortly before this movie's release. You also get to see a copy of God Creates Dinosaurs, written by one Ian Malcolm throughout the movie. I think twice in the movie. I know once on the train.
It's on the nerdy guy's desk.
Yeah, I believe so.
This is the first time I actually saw it in the movie.
Yeah, I noticed it, I think, on the guy's desk the first time I watched it.
I didn't
it.
Realize
this time
it was a book. I thought it was a sticker on his computer.
Okay. But also the Geosphere set, where everybody got on that little ride, that's actually a place you can go, and you can get married there. So if your wife ever gets fed up with you, your next wedding could be...
You could renew your vows there.
Third time's a charm, is that what you're saying?
You could renew your vows there.
I could definitely renew my vows there.
And where would that be located?
Fucking Tony.
that would be on the island of Oahu.
Oh, so you're saying that the field that the gyrospheres were filmed is an actual location?
No, where they got on the sphere, that nice little covered area or whatever that looks out over that beautiful landscape, that's where it would be.
I just saw a crowd of disgusting people.
Okay, try and watch that scene again and imagine without the crowd of disgusting people.
I can't.
Or the crowd of disgusting people is your friends and family.
It'd be a much smaller crowd.
You guys.
Much.
And way more gross and disgusting.
Yeah. Anyway.
Also, there was a popular fan theory that Chris Pratt was, in fact, the little boy that gets harassed by...
Oh, my God. Grant. No, come on.
Yes, this was a thing. And it got around.
The little androgynous monster child?
Wow.
I'm pretty sure he grew up to be Olaf.
Wait, what?
Remember the first Jurassic Park, the kid that's like, I'm not afraid of that. It's like a giant turkey or something along those lines.
Oh, okay.
And they don't come at you from the front, the two from the sides, and they cut you across the belly and eat you while you're still... A lot of people are like, maybe this is Chris Pratt is him growing up, and that's why he has such a fascination with raptors, why he knows how they hunt and attack. And, you know, he says, have more respect for him.
All the BS that the franchise expects you to swallow, why would, like, that be a problem?
Well, that's the funny
thing.
That
kid is disgusting. Chris Pratt is
But, like,
so
he would have joined the military, would have got him in the shape and stuff, and then, like,
But it didn't put his eyes closer together.
If I could settle all of this and possibly please everyone with this
Can't
remark.
Make him not look like Rosie
if
O'Donnell.
If you'll shut up for half a second here. The original actor, Whit Hertford, Whit Hertford.
That's quite a name.
Was that Whit with an H?
W-H-I-T.
Whit.
Whit.
Whit Hertford.
He says that this is a bogus idea because, in his own words, Rob, guys like me don't grow up to look like Chris Pratt.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, I'm aware.
He looks like he's going to be on an episode of To Catch a Predator.
Or Law and Order SVU. I don't know if he'd be the predator or the child. Anyway.
Why is he putting shirtless pictures of himself on Twitter?
Why are you still looking at them?
Yeah, right? Like,
I was trying to find a picture of him as a kid from Jurassic Park.
I saw the adult picture. I remember him now as a kid. I remember him now.
And he himself knocks his appearance, so
and
come on.
He himself. Carved the roast beast.
All right. Continue, so, Tony. Anyone want to guess at the budget this movie had to make?
$120 million.
$120 million and $1.
I'm feeling $150 million.
It was $150 million. Well done, Joe. Celebratory fart. So
I figured it was like 120, 21, and Rob wasn't quite sure it's 120. So.
I was just guessing.
Okay, but you like for real movie?
No, I do not know.
I'm kind of surprised myself. But anyone want to guess how much money this movie made?
$400 million.
A pile.
Yeah, somewhere between like a dump truck and a cargo container.
I'm going to guess an Indominus Rex worth.
What did you say, Brian?
$400 million.
Oh, no, the Indominus Rex was only, what, $20 million? $26 million?
$600 million?
I'm going to say, are we talking worldwide gross?
Yes.
So I think it was over a billion worldwide. I'm going to say a billion.
Hi.
And you're going with 600?
Yeah.
You were close.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually $1,670,000,000.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, it's made a
that's why we're getting three of them already.
A lot of money.
Wow.
Yeah.
That speaking makes me sad.
So what?
Right, like,
we'll get into it. We'll get into it.
We all have our time.
Yeah.
You've known him long enough to have some idea where this is going.
This episode, Joe will be playing the role of Tony.
So yeah, I will be the curmudgeon.
Oh, I'm like, just shut up and enjoy stuff. Just shut up and enjoy stuff.
Brian, I wish I could. I really wish I could, but I can't.
We're all friends.
Some people are better at shutting off their brains and enjoying dumb shit than others.
When this movie, just how when this episode,
like, I left the theater when this came out. I left the theater and I went, that was just what I needed. That was all I wanted. It's just what I needed. Like,
and for you, it worked.
We
have
2 hours of schmutz to get through here before we get into this argument.
All right. So yeah, let's just jump into this. We get to see the little eggs hatching.
Well, first off, it said it was produced by Legendary Pictures, and I gave it a look like that, and I was like, we'll see.
I'm like, we didn't even get past the opening credits of Joseph.
I already had my guard up.
Because they made Underworld.
I don't know.
Underworlds, they made, like...
Well, they've made a lot of things, both good and bad.
Where you're not quite sure how you should feel when you see them. So that's fair.
Well, yeah, I mean, in full disclosure, like, a dinosaur does not get you as far with me as it does with the three people in this room.
Right.
And 2 and 3 are bad movies.
Correct. Well,
sure. So, like, I had my dukes up. Because, like, one has a lot of shit that you have to ignore.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch of cool shit, you know, on top of it. But, so I'm like, my guard's already up. Because I'm expecting this just to be a disaster outright.
They're legendary, kind of like Edgar Allan Poe. Everyone remembers his name. And, like, a few good poems he did. But he wrote a lot of poems.
And was a pedophile.
What?
Yeah. Oh. His wife was, like, 16.
Okay. I knew he was messed up in the head. I wasn't sure that was how.
He was messed up in the pants, too.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All what? Cadbury egg and a Nestle Crunch egg? So you guys can all suck it.
I didn't even know the
word. All right, so...
That's diabetes kid.
Unpopular opinion right here. I've realized as I got to be an adult that Cadbury eggs are not that good.
But these are Cadbury caramel eggs.
Oh.
That's pretty good.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I know, fool. You want this one?
Yeah, I'll
baby. There's more in there.
I'll take this Cadbury. I'll take this non-Cadbury.
I think I still have...
From
the ones that you keep in the dice?
I think I still have this.
Oh, shit. From the game at your place?
Yes, I think I still have
this. It's literally been like 10 years since Blackstone 2.
Still in
there. Brian.
Brian, it's been like 10 years.
It's like the last game I was in.
Brian, you realize there's a strong possibility that an Indominus Rex has hatched from that and come into your apartment.
Some backstory. We've all been playing games together for a long time. And one of the D&D games we were playing, or I think it was D&D, because it was a D20. The die was really bad, so I punished it by putting it in a package of Cadbury eggs. Like,
forever.
Like, there was one Cadbury egg left, and I put it in that package to put aside. And it's been in that for over 10 years.
He never forgave it.
No, it never came back to the rest of the fold. No, it's that bad.
It's like hitting puberty at this point.
Well, but that was when you had that long streak with, I think it was Malcolm, where you had like a plus 15 modifier.
It was 19.
Yeah, I'd be like, it's difficulty 20. You'd roll like a 3.
Yep.
Yeah, that dice will come out when Matt takes his to Olive Garden.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That promise.
Mm-hmm. All right, so...
Speaking of eggs.
Yeah.
We get some dinosaurs hatching. Whatever.
I like this. I like the little fake out where you see the claw slam down, and then it's just a crow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's cute. Cool.
And then what do you get? Christmas music.
Yeah, it's Christmas time.
It's a Christmas movie.
Yep.
Suck it, everybody.
Yeah, really told them. So,
Colin Trevorrow, thank you for giving me a dinosaur movie to watch at Christmas time. Mm-hmm.
And what says Christmas better than a family getting divorced? Mm-hmm. We see Judy Greer and her husband from The Office.
On the most backlot looking fake stagey.
There's clearly nothing inside that
CGI
house.
CGI trees. There's clearly not a house there. Yeah. They are.
It's just a two-dimensional.
They're standing in front of a green.
Well, no, because this house was probably like hastily built somewhere in Hawaii, and we're trying to make it look like the Midwest or something.
Yeah, they just threw a bunch of like flocking on the ground or something to make snow.
It's a Bluth model.
Yeah. All right, so I will back away from this criticism, but immediately I was like, why are there kids? God damn it. Well, there's always kids. I know it's Jurassic Park, but I'm like, fuck.
I mean, I'm kind of with you because they don't.
No.
They don't do much.
So I actually liked them in this film, at least for the first act. But my initial reaction to it was like, God damn it!
For the first act. Oh, yeah. We'll get into this.
They are innocuous. They don't get in the way. They don't really do anything. They're really a way to make the movie accessible for younger people.
Yeah. Well, that
do they?
They provide. Yes. A relatable sense of childlike wonder with which you can view the park while the park is still
again,
open.
Yes. Do like, they?
Yes.
Yeah,
the one kid kind of, but the other ones just...
They very much do. Like, the parts where they're like, where it's like the room and they're like, here's a subplot that's not going anywhere. And then you never hear about it again. Like, be like, are we getting divorced? Or like, you know, all the other crap that they do.
That's,
like these conversations that don't go anywhere.
All unnecessary, but yeah.
But I was like, I'm okay with the kids, at least in the beginning. But they should have just been taken somewhere and left there for the rest of the film.
See,
speaking of.
For most of it, I felt like it could have been replaced with a sack of flour, because they're just the MacGuffin for the others to chase after.
I don't know. If that sack of flour could make a good, like, wow face when it sees something wondrous, then
yes. Yeah, you want to see, dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Kids, dinosaurs.
Yeah.
No, I get their intent. I'm saying I don't think they accomplished it very well. Because, again, that one kid was kind of into it. He was really into it, but, like...
The other kid was too much like you, so
who names their kid Gray?
People of...
I'm gonna shut up.
The same people that name their kid Hunter or Skyler or something with ER at the end of it for no reason whatsoever. Those people.
Or like Scout.
Yeah, Scout. Yeah, exactly.
They Apple. Name
their Apple. Or what, purple or blue? Is that... Wait, that was the name of...
Moon Unit.
I forgot someone is named Moon Unit.
Yeah, like
Test Pilot, wasn't that one? One of the Zappas or
just
something?
A random profession. Like.
Yeah, it's not serious.
Yeah, because Moon Unit was one of the Zappas.
Yeah.
And I'm going to name one of my kids Arbitrator.
Or Northwest.
That's a kind of badass name, actually.
It is.
Basically, what we're saying is people that have watched The NeverEnding Story name their kids Greg.
Yeah.
I will say that name will not work if he's as nerdy as we are. Yeah. That kid's getting beat up a lot.
But later on in life, he'll be someone important.
Yeah, and plus when he's in his teens and he's awkward and he's trying to flirt with girls, he could be like, hey, any of you girls want to check out Grey's Anatomy? No? No? Nothing?
Anyway.
No. Nothing?
Nothing.
Because it's already a dated reference. So, it's going to be worse when he's older.
All right. The parents, you're getting divorced.
Are there?
They're sending the kids to go with their Aunt Claire and Isla Nublar. And you're going to Jurassic World.
It seems a long way to go to explain why the parents didn't go along.
Mm-hmm. Well, whatever. They're going through the divorce. I mean...
On Christmas.
The parents didn't go along because that would be too many main characters.
No, I get that. I'm just saying, like, this is a bit...
Plus, then you could make the sweet joke when they're at the airport. All right, you're going to Isla Nublar. Say goodbye to these.
So...
Which they totally took that opportunity, didn't they, Rob?
They should have. Mm-hmm.
So I'm not even going to try to compare this movie to 2 and 3. That's not fair. But in Jurassic Park 1, like, when you see the park, there is a, like, legendary scene in cinema with the reveal of the first dinosaur is this... Yeah. It's this big, majestic moment. Someone's just rocking out on a recorder. two dinosaurs are porking in the back. No. No, but it's like, it's that moment where you're like, holy crap. And I thought the reveal of the park was really cool. And we're going through the park and we're seeing all this cool stuff. But I'm like, can we get just a can a dinosaur do something? And like, it's a little while. And I don't think we see like half dinosaurs and like kids are riding on little triceratops and stuff, which is cool. I want to do that.
But the thing is, okay, but the thing is,
yeah,
this movie isn't about the dinosaurs so much as about the park. Like,
yeah,
when you think about the first movie, they had dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really just kind of scattershot. It was like, oh, we're building this park. We have this half-completed visitor center.
Yeah.
We got a couple of fences that you see, and then one raptor, like, enclosure that you're trying to figure out how it even works because the actual raptors are, like,
it's underground. Still am, but yeah. Yeah.
And he even, like, Hammond even says to, like, Ellie as a throwaway line, he's like, oh, the viewing department will be underground, and you'll go under tunnels or whatever. But this is, like, look at it's a park. It's like a full ass fledged real theme park. And when Gray goes into the hotel room and opens the doors and you see the park in its entirety and it's playing the music, I felt almost the same way I did when I first saw the Brachiosaur.
It's good
in the first movie.
I liked it. I just wish if we had something like that Brachiosaur standing up.
Yeah, but they knew that the CG wasn't that good.
it really wasn't.
Yeah. So, now don't get me wrong. Like, the reveal is still cool. That balcony reveal is awesome. And I'm legitimately excited about this park.
Yeah, I think the point here is, like, what we're talking about between those two differences is one is really going like, wow, isn't this amazing? We brought dinosaurs back to life. Whereas this one's more like, wow, isn't it amazing? We built a park.
Yeah.
That's not really why we're there.
Like, a good, I think, comparison would be like, so Disney World is at a point now where some people go just to be at Disney World and not necessarily go enjoy the parks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And this feels like you could. Of so established where you can just do that. You can show up to be at like the restaurant area and never even see a dinosaur and still be having a good time still. You know what I mean? Like it's more designed for that.
That actually transitioned to something I was going to mention in a little bit. I'll mention it when it comes up. But
well, basically, it's capturing that feeling of people that went to see Jurassic Park when they were younger dreamt of what would that be if it was a whole open theme park. It's like, here it is. This is what it is. And yeah, they don't focus as much on the dinosaurs initially.
Yeah. Hmm.
And, you know, I don't know exactly the reason for that, but
I feel like they kind of mention it in the movie because when she's giving her presentation, she's like, you know, dinosaurs are old now. People see dinosaurs, like, whatever. It's a petting zoo, whatever. They don't care. They want bigger, better, and more teeth.
Oh, we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
It's like, I got a lot to say about that. But
me too.
So me too.
When... Like, I'm saying the scene, like, when it started, I had, like, I was flaccid, and then we were going into, like, half pack. My pee-pee was like, huh? And it was getting up there. And I mean, I could have had a rock hard boner here. And instead, like, I got a, it was good enough to accomplish the task, but it could have been, like, a legendary creature.
Okay.
But it, like, because that's what it was in the first one.
Like
my 11-year-old.
When you were 12 years old.
Yeah, it went to places that it literally had never gone before. Because that dinosaur was so fucking cool. This one, I'm saying, like, it was a boner, but it wasn't, it wasn't like.
Yeah. I mean, and, like, the thing is.
Right there, Brian.
We do have to understand. This is a complete, this is a different.
I wish I had a better metaphor. But
it's a different, I do too.
It's a different genre of movie.
Yeah.
That we're seeing, and I'll get into this more when we do whatever when it's appropriate. I don't know when it's appropriate, but whatever. But yeah, it's a different genre of movie, and you have to. I mean, because people have been through three Jurassic Park movies at this point.
Yep,
and the last two of them did not perform the way you know. Or no, I think Jurassic Park 2 did well, but Jurassic Park 3, I don't think did very well.
No, I don't believe so.
And so they're trying to reinvent it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is basically exactly what they did. They reinvented it, and you know.
So, whatever I said, I was like, I was nearing, like, I was at like 75% power, we'll say.
and their nanny didn't help you with that?
Well, their nanny, fuck her. She's on her damn cell phone the whole time. Who's she talking to? Like, my boss tells me, guard my nephews. Like, that's it. I'm on it. Like, yep.
She is like, so disinterested that when they get off this boat, and she's first, I kind of thought she was blind for a moment. Yeah. She's just got these big glasses on. She's staring off into the middle distance.
No, help.
That would have been great. She's standing there with the placard and their names. And, like, they're walking up to her. They're like, hey, hey. And she's not moving.
Just walk right past her.
She just pulls out her little cane and starts tapping it around.
So, anyway, if that was my boss's nephews, I would do everything I can. Well, no, I wouldn't. But, like, this woman should have done everything she could to make sure that, like, at the end of the trip, they're like, oh, we love... Was her name Zara, by the way?
It doesn't even matter.
It does not
matter. Doesn't matter.
If we, you know, like, this woman was amazing. I want to come back and see her.
Oh, we skipped the cast.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
It's all right.
So busy.
The cast. Oh, we did, yeah.
All right, it stars Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt.
Bryce Dallas Howard.
As
the
guy.
Male protagonist.
Yes, the male protagonist. Bryce Howard as the female protagonist.
Yeah. Vincent D'Onofrio as the villain.
Yeah.
Ty Simpkins as the younger kid. Nick Robinson as the older kid.
Fakeosaurus.
Irfan Khan as the sort of villain billionaire. And BD Wong.
He was the villain.
Villain. Yeah.
He's not at all the villain. Yeah. What? He was just a moron.
Well, yeah. Well, no. I mean, I guess he was not a villain, but he was. He
just because he was brown doesn't mean he's a villain, Joe.
He's a villain, yes. Because he's brown. No. I guess he's. It's about the 80s.
Wait.
Yeah, he's like.
The 80s. The last movie he watched was True Lies, so he's a little thrown off the
ball. True story. True story.
Anyway, he's like Hammond. He facilitated this disaster to happen.
Quick side note here, though. Possibilities for Owen. At one time, I think it was for him, it was talks of having it be Harrison Ford. But after the debacle of the last Indiana Jones movie, that failed through. So other people they were looking at are Armie Hammer.
Okay.
Henry Cavill. Glenn Howerton. Jason Sudeikis. Josh Brolin. John Krasinski. And Jason Statham.
They were kind of all over the place.
Really? Like,
wow.
Well, but you have any tone to this movie?
I mean, we'll talk to him about him when he shows up, but he's just the archetype guy.
No, like, that's
it. Hey, that's like, he could be any of those.
Yep. Yeah.
Anyway.
Well,
Sudeikis? No.
No, yeah. Glenn Howerton?
The guy from The Office? No.
I'm going to say, straight up, this is a B monster movie. Like, the main lead doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So I'm at like 75% power right now, and that's all gone. I'm immediately mad when we have this conversation where we meet Claire and she's talking about it's been out for 20 years. No one gives a shit about dinos.
Joe, have you seen or interacted with children or young people lately?
I will go anywhere to watch a fucking river otter.
You would
swim around for 2 hours.
Okay, but you could go to any like any group of young people right now. And they cannot spend 5 seconds without their phones.
Okay.
So
how many people go to Disney World to get on the fucking Peter Pan ride or the Small World ride that suck but have such a, you know, a powerful emotional connection?
Those people only get on that ride because it's like the only little child-friendly ride in the park. But that's beside the
point. There's still a wait for that damn ride.
There's a longer wait for that than there's any business being.
Right. Yeah. Because it's the... It's the friendliest ride for young children.
Plus it breaks down.
Yeah.
It breaks down.
No, like the staff explained this to me the last time I was there because I was like, what's the deal with this? Because it is the most kid-friendly ride in the park. All the families with young children go to that.
Proving
ride.
That the this park makes most of its business by having these young children in there. So what's the best way to like amp that up? A scary fucking monster to give them nightmares.
Mm. Right.
Like, well,
no.
the real issue is like, so this park is fucking expensive. To go there, you have to have money to go there.
Right.
Right. So
exactly.
People who have much money tend to get bored easily.
That's my first note. How much does it cost to go?
Yeah. So it's like, because your average kid will never go to that park ever.
Right.
And the average kid who would be, happy with dinosaurs regardless is never going to that park.
Right. See, and we are all coming to it from a place of dinosaurs have been extinct for, dozens of millions of years. We don't know how long the park has been open. Did they say when the park actually opened?
They may have. No. I missed
it. We could say it's been like 5 years or more where they've had these dinosaurs. And just like the majority of people, they're like, well, we're not going to spend 10 grand to fly to Costa Rica. Take a yacht or take a cruise liner to this island and see some dinosaurs. Like, it's a once in a lifetime event. And then once you do it, you're not doing it again.
I don't buy it. I think they would be selling out continues. As long as their rides were halfway competently put together, they would be selling out.
Well, I mean,
constantly.
But they also need a premise for the movie.
There's the key.
But the thing is,
because, like, I don't see any zoos like trying to mate a tiger and an elephant together.
Of course
to get
they are. Like, zoos would do that in a second if they could.
But they also do point out in one of the scenes when Ifrin, the owner, shows up.
Yep.
He's like, "How's my park?" And she's like, "You know, all the profits are up." And then he's like, "No, how's my park? People having fun? Are the animals happy? Like, how's my, like, I give a shit about the experience. I don't give a fuck about how much I'm making.
Yeah.
I'm rich, bitch. I don't give a fuck. Like,
yeah.
like how's the park? Like, is it fun?
I think, honestly, the whole kids are bored with dinosaurs was a half lie. I think what she meant to say was, we want sponsorships, so give us money and we'll make whatever thing you want.
Yeah, what it was, we want money, because she also says, she sounds disappointed when she says this about the how's my park. It's in the low 90s. Like, you're in the 90s. You're doing fine. You're 90% success rate. That's fine.
No, that was for enjoyment. Customer enjoyment in the low 90s. He wants hot. He wants what Joe's saying.
He wants hundos,
a rocking experience, you know.
Yeah.
Fuck how much it costs.
Make he wants that fun. Full hard on.
Yeah, I want to be at full mass the whole time. Yeah. Not no 70% and then it's gone all of a sudden.
Yeah. The thing is, I mean, like, I could go see a T-Rex and do that every day for the rest of my life until I die.
Which, by the way,
and still enjoy it just as much every time. But your average park goer could be like, all right, I could go to Jurassic Park, which will cost me 10 grand, or I could spend, you know, an eighth of that and go to Disney for a week.
Can I tell you how to resolve this much easier and at least only as dangerous? Take the idea from that kid's ride and slap some saddles on the adult Triceratops and get some adults up there. Because if I'm out in the field just roaming on a Triceratops or something, I'm happy.
That's why they made the gyrosphere.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. The gyrosphere is not enough.
If I'm only going there once in my life, I'm paying whatever it costs to ride the fucking Triceratops.
Hell yes.
Like, I don't know. You need one of my feet? Fine. Cut it off. Like, whatever. Anyway, like,
but I'm saying, I need to be sewn on. Fine.
They could be making money. Like, they could loan these out to zoos and, like, you know, they would. Like, the subsidies from that, from the ticket sales alone, just to see, even if it's just like a peaceful herbivore dinosaur, would be crazy. There's so many ways that this would be making money that I cannot in any way believe that
I think, again, we're coming at it from
need is different.
Yeah.
From want. They want all the money.
Yeah.
They don't need all the money, but they want the money.
They're making it sound like it's kind of out of necessity.
Well, they're also saying that low 90s means people are bored with it.
And it was a sales pitch.
Bullshit.
They're coming at it from a corporate.
Low 90s for what? For their customer satisfaction?
Yeah.
Right. Like, they, as soon,
that's
like,
that's a full bonus at my job.
But here's the thing. Like, when you're
that's it right there.
When you're in a multi-billion dollar, like, scenario like this, the minute sales start dipping, you're like, all right, what can we do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that,
so it's not necessarily like everybody's saying, oh, Tyrannosaurus, poo-poo.
Yeah.
Right, what they do is ridiculous, but that's part of the whole plot of the movie.
The central problem that's going to keep coming up, where we're going to disagree here, is they were setting out to make kind of like a B monster movie.
Right.
And that's not what I wanted it to be.
But it's exactly what I wanted it to be.
Right. So that's exactly why I think we're going to be disagreeing through this whole thing.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
And my problem is it's not really either.
No, I mean, I think it's a good B monster movie. Yeah. Because it's just like, here's a reason why this happened. Don't question it. That's it. That's why it happened. And go.
It is on that end. I'll give you that.
Yeah. But, and, you know, it's, I don't want to say the CGI is B budget, but
CGI is terrible.
It's like, not A budget.
I'm not gonna argue with that at all. CGI is terrible. But the thing is, like, as much as we want to have it, we are never gonna get Jurassic Park 1 CG again.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was like
most of it wasn't CG.
Well, no, even the parts that were, what was it? I think Phil Tippett and his like puppeteers and stuff went in to ILM and they painted over all of the CG. Yeah. Like, they hand-painted all the CG.
I believe that team was given as much time as it took.
Right, because they had no idea what they were doing. Right. Because
that was one of the earliest, like,
and they used puppets instead of Andy Serkis to model the animal movements. Mm. And it was many teams working together to make this work. But now it's like CG is just run of the mill. You just, okay, we need dinosaurs, yeah, whatever.
Control alt dinosaur.
Right, exactly.
You got 2 months, what happened, Mike?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So the CG is terrible. But, you know, there's a point at which you're like, well, the CG is bad, but is it bad enough that it's going to ruin the movie for me? Because I understand what the movie is and what it's trying to be. And you're like, all right, whatever. It's, you know, it's a fakey looking cartoonosaurus, but we're not here for, like, you're not getting the gravitas of Jurassic Park.
I just want to point out,
which is what
that,
I wanted.
That Rob's acceptance of CGI in this movie is way different from his acceptance of CGI in any other movie ever.
Yeah. It is. And I'll fully own up to that. That's fine. The CGI, and again, I'm saying CGI bad in this movie. It's bad. But the thing is, they, all right,
he's still like thumb drunk. You know what I mean? Like, he came so much. Like,
also to warn the people out there now, strap in. Strap in for another 2-hour episode like we had with Transformers.
Oh, yeah.
With Rob it's talking about this. Yeah.
So, all right. Jurassic Park 1.
No, that's a
shit chair.
Jurassic Park 1. Steven Spielberg made this movie. He said, I don't want them to be monsters. I want them to be animals. Jurassic Park 2. He said kind of the same thing, but he kind of made them monsters anyway. And they just ended up kind of being cartoons and stupid. Jurassic Park 3. They were like, we're going to take... It was just awful. Jurassic Park 3, it's like, we're going to give you nothing you want. We're going to take, remember that scene where the T-Rex roared inside the, you know, the visitor center?
Yeah.
And you got the biggest boner you've ever had in your entire life, and you were like, oh my God, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my entire life. That T-Rex is going to get his ass kicked by a stupid fish-eating Spinosaurus, because we don't know how that animal works, and Steven Spielberg just wanted something big in there.
Mm. Well, also, just to warn you, though, that movie and that Spinosaurus had that moment because they built themselves in a Dominus Rex. It needed to be bigger and better and have more teeth. Right.
But that's what I'm saying. But they still chose a real dinosaur to do that with, and it killed your Tyrannosaurus that you were so attached to.
Yes.
In this one, they were still trying to make it animals fighting as animals. They didn't do it very well, but they still tried to do it that way. In this movie, they're just like, all right, we have dinosaurs, and we're going to treat them like animals, and we're going to make a monster for the animals and the people to fight together. Like, they made a bad guy.
I believe I've brought this up before, possibly when we did The Lost World, but originally one of the plots for this, and could still happen within this series, was that they were actually gene-splicing people with dino DNA to make dino soldiers.
Now,
I mean,
that's gonna get to
that was a thing that was gonna happen.
I hope,
because those were that I whole bit with the raptors, those were supposed to be half human,
and that's gonna spin off into the Dino Saucers franchise.
I hope so. Fingers crossed.
The second thing that happens fairly quickly after this, that pissed me off.
Well, raptors.
Well, we got some other stuff to talk about before we get there.
Can I also just mention? I like that we go into the visitor center and they're showing like kids interacting with all this stuff. And they have, like, the one kid that's doing the paleontology and dusting the, you know, little dirt or whatever off the bones. I was just, in my head, I was just loving the idea of, like, a few minutes later, a guy comes in with a leaf blower and just blows it all back on.
Or there's, like, a chute above it that just dumps a fresh, like, pile of sand.
Your time's up!
Get out. All
right, so the kids meet their Aunt Claire. She's super busy. She's running the park. Blah, blah. They're talking about the Indominus Rex. And I'm like, just God damn it. Because, I mean, it's 2015. I was like, can we be done with the, like, we're gene splicing the, you know, we're trying to make a more badass dinosaur.
This is Jurassic Park, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a difference between what we want in a movie. And I wanted something different than that.
All right.
Anyway. So, I mean, that's a gripe. That's probably only a gripe only Joe has. But so they talk about like Verizon Wireless is going to sponsor this dinosaur.
The Verizon Wireless presents the Indominus Rex.
Uh-huh. Again, which, you know how much money you'd make off that?
Yeah. Fuck all of you. I took a note, like, I'm with the guy in the control room who says, that sucks.
Mm.
Well, that's gonna tie into a gripe I have later on, but...
Yeah. So, now we meet Masrani here, the billionaire funding this place. He's an amateur helicopter pilot. He's not that good at it.
No.
Which causes his instructor to puke the moment they land.
Yeah. And causes Claire to have an orgasm, it seems.
Yeah, her noises were a little...
She looked like she was really enjoying that.
I don't know, her danger noises.
Are you sure that wasn't just because you were really enjoying it?
I was, actually. I was like, is there a Sibian on that chair she's on?
Yeah. Oh, God.
All right, so, you know, we get a little glimpse of the Indominus Rex, and he's like, all right, I got this guy, Owen Gray. I want to bring him in to have him look at the paddock that you're storing this thing in.
Mm-hmm. Now, my first complaint, like, with the movie, like, so she says it's 50 feet long.
Yeah.
Like, yada, yada, yada. We already have one built, so we'll go look at it. Mm-hmm. And the paddock that they're showing it lives in is fucking tiny.
Yeah.
I mean... It looks tiny, it might be bigger.
Yeah.
On the, like, it might be go far back or something. But yeah, it does. It looks tiny.
It looks tiny, and like when you put big animals in tiny cages, they get pissed the fuck off.
Yeah,
like
I think you're both right. It's probably bigger than we get to see, but it's probably smaller than it should have been. And
I mean,
because that's kind of Chris Pratt's point when he shows up. He's like, "You have dealt with this creature all wrong."
But at the same time, I still have yet to figure out how the T-Rex paddock works in the first Jurassic Park.
Like how you're supposed to see that thing?
No, it's like, is that a hill? Does that go down?
Oh, yeah,
like,
no, that...
What the, how does that... How do the... Where...
Yeah, like, how are you viewing it?
I need a layout. Like, I need to see a three-dimensional layout.
Because he just gets right up on the fence, but then there's this huge boat.
It looks... Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, is that drop on the other... Is that sheer cliff on the other side? But no,
does he have a bridge somewhere?
Yeah, he climbed a tree.
Yeah.
There was a tree near the fence.
Like, how the hell
he climbed up that?
Yeah,
it's all right. So, all right. So yeah,
it's a tree. The car went down.
There's wonky physics. All I don't understand the Indominus paddock either. All
right, so now now we see Chris Pratt playing Owen Grady.
Sorry, why don't they have a whole separate area where they're raising the raptors for whatever? Yeah. We'll get into that in a moment. And the Indominus, where they're growing him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why don't they have, like, a giant moat around it or some shit? Like, only accessible by boat or something. Like, find a way to keep it so this thing can't get out. The dangerous shit.
I mean,
make it so it can't get out.
That's called pride, Tony.
Mm-hmm. Literally, like, that.
All right.
That is,
I mean, and that's a constant theme of these films is, hubris getting the best of these
people. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's just another of the, hey... If we solve this plot hole, there's no movie. So,
or you find a reasonable explanation to make it happen, but,
so,
to each their own.
We meet Owen Grady, and I like this scene. You know, he's got his raptor pack, and he's got a little connection with him, kind of. And I like that, he knows a way to communicate with them, get them to understand him, but at the same time, they're still wild animals.
Yeah,
Yeah, and they're still, very much, like, they can turn on him. And indeed, like, when this idiot falls into... I don't know why he was so obsessed with saving that pig. That happens a little bit later, but I'm like, it's toast. The pig really wants to die that bad.
Yeah.
Maybe, because they are in Costa Rica, maybe that's, like, the only pig they have.
Then why is it there in, like, the lodge into the
Only pig you have, you don't use it as bait for the raptors.
Well, I mean, they can get another one, but it takes, like... 3 weeks by boat.
Yeah. Hey, spare no expense.
They have to order it from Hong Kong.
Anyway, I don't know. So this asshole falls into the cage trying to save a pig. And then, Owen stares down the raptors. And he gets them to chill just long enough for him to run out of the cage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As me and Brian were pointing out during the... Mostly Brian, I will say... if he could actually see what they were animating these raptors for, he would be shitting his pants.
Because
that raptor was like seconds away from leaping on his face.
In front of him, in front of Chris Pratt, it was just some tennis balls or whatever, so he couldn't really see what they looked like. If he could see their faces,
Well,
again, to be fair, It was people in a green leotard with a bike helmet.
But it wasn't like it wasn't what
it wasn't a giant toothed monster with crazy eyes.
There was one of those like Spencer Raptor masks maybe on top of the bike helmet.
And it most certainly wasn't like, you know, squishing and fusing with the floor in a way that it's about to spring load off at you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's where I get really mad. There's seriously, in 2015, a man trying to make super soldiers out of velociraptors.
Yeah, I
know. It's the Weyland-Yutani defense.
At least Weyland-Yutani, I could see the application of if you don't value that planet anymore, you drop one of those on the planet. And,
no, but Weyland-Yutani was trying to like turn aliens into soldiers. Mm-hmm. They were trying to use them as a weapon. It's the same premise.
Yeah. Well, no, I think the point Joe's making is with the aliens, if you drop it on a planet, they will take out that planet. You just leave that planet. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about it or anyone on it ever again. Yeah. Raptors, you drop those in Syria or something, you still have to deal with them after.
It's a dumb B-movie plot.
Yeah. I saw it as like Chris Pratt was trying to say, that's fucking stupid. They're just letting them be fucking animals.
Yeah, correct.
Like, you don't have to make everything into a weapon. Correct. And then other guys like, America.
That's exactly it.
But it was like a, what advantage do you gain here by having a velociraptor soldier?
None. All the resources you spend to get do that.
From men with guns or drones.
How about sharks with freaking laser beams?
Well, sharks make more sense because you could do shit in the water with them that you can't do with people.
I would argue the point of, you know, I guess it's closer to the drones could do it, but it is like a, you would send wave of raptors and they, if they die, no one cares because you just grow them in a lab. Mm.
No, but you have to like, not just grow them.
Millions of dollars.
No, I understand.
All this
but,
money. Yeah. Like,
I think the idea is they are more disposable than people.
No, and you got to refresh the DNA every once in a while because, you know, clones of clones, they start getting stupid.
Yeah.
You get those stormtrooper syndrome. They can't hit the broadside of a barn.
Yeah, start walking into the door.
No, it's a dumb premise. I totally agree. It's a dumb premise.
So
it's really dumb.
I can't tell you what I would have done with this movie. I'm not really sure, but this is not what I wanted. So now they'll see Jurassic Park 1. Lots of things are happening that I disagree with. But it's showing me a lot of things that I'm like, that's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's offset. And at the end, all the dumb stuff, you have to actually be like, what was dumb in that movie? And I have to think about it for a while. And I don't really want to. This movie, I can't. It's in my mind for the rest of the film.
But I mean, the thing is,
I think that's a function of how I watch movies compared to how other people do. It's like how I complain about Spider-Man 2, where it's probably a good movie, but goddamn, that train scene is so dumb. That it's, you know, and the fact that he's standing right next to a fusion reactor, that I can't not. And it's just, I'm stuck with it.
The unfortunate thing is, and I agree with you to an extent, but the thing is, you're never going to get Jurassic Park 1 again. Like, that was a...
No, and I don't want that. I think the problem is I don't know exactly what I want. I just know I don't want this.
Okay, all right.
Well, yeah, because I again, I'm on the border here because there's things like
every girl I've ever dated. That's what they all said to me. Like,
yeah, the thing is, like, it might be what you want. You just have to expand your horizons a little bit because if you try and reclaim the majesty of the original Jurassic Park, you get Jurassic Park 2. If you try and deviate, but not deviate too much, you get Jurassic Park 3. So you gotta just do a whole full departure and say, we're just going to do something new, and you can either accept it or not.
I don't know. Because, like, Jurassic Park 2, that movie was savable. Like, there was...
It was savable.
I would also argue there's a lot of this movie that it mirrors Jurassic Park 1, so it is... They just changed a few things, and some work and others are Indominus Rex.
Yeah. You take out, in Jurassic Park 2, you take out the dumb shit with her with the bloody jacket, the fucking uneven bars drop kicking a raptor out the window, and a few other select scenes.
You still have a long, boring-ass movie, though.
I don't know. It can be serviceable. You just
replace those parts with cooler, monster dinosaur attacks. And
there you go. You're good. You'd have to restructure the plot to get rid of Vince Vaughn's character or just straight up make him a villain.
Either way. But okay, so what is the point of the raptors here?
What do you mean?
Well, we're not breeding them to be soldiers, and they're not part of the attraction. What are they there?
No, he's doing a social experiments about how they're able to do, how they form social structures.
He's straight up doing science.
It's just research. Yeah. Science stuff. They're learning about how the brains work.
Yeah.
That does happen, Tony.
No, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I'm not arguing that. I didn't catch that, I guess. But yeah, so for me, I would probably just have this be we're messing with science. We're creating these creatures. Whoops, we created one that's like fucking just a monster somehow. It was an accident. Now we have to deal with that breaking loose and getting out.
That's legit the movie.
Yeah,
no, they intentionally created a monster, which then fucks everything up. And we're attacking it with a bunch
of what you said was the premise. Like that's what someone said in a board meeting. Like this is what we want.
You did just sell the movie.
Oh well, yeah. But for me, that works better than the we intentionally made a monster thing.
Well, I don't think they intentionally made.
They put a raptor DNA into T-Rex DNA and then told no one about it.
Like now,
because they're stupid.
Now, don't forget. Now, this is just if you listen to this, you've seen the fucking movie. So at the end, we find out that the guy who does the gene stuff is in league with the guy who's trying to make weapons. So he's trying to make weapons for that.
Yes,
that's not known to the owner of the park.
Yeah,
so the park is not trying to actually make these monsters. It's people going behind him have done what happens when we
yeah. Ooh, do you think because this was Universal, right? So do you think they were trying to add this to their Dark Universe series? Like Dr. Wu is going to have a post credit scene with Russell Crowe.
Wow.
I'm Dr. Henry Jekyll.
Were they trying to make a Godzilla?
You know what I'm saying? Like, the Indominus Rex, nothing can beat it. Oh, here comes Godzilla.
They mix it with part eel, so shoots out lightning now. Like.
Because that girl, the assistant, actually survives the attack from the whatever that fish creature was.
Yeah.
And now she's pregnant somehow, and we get the creature from the Black Lagoon.
It's like a Shape of Water kind of deal.
Right, yeah. And then she bangs it, and it's Shape of Water.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
So.
Bang a fish monster, get an Oscar.
Yeah. Here's where we see that part with you could ride on a baby T-Rex or Ankylosaurus or whatever. I'm like, holy crap, I want to do that.
Like, this part looks cool as shit.
Yeah.
It's holograms, it's interactive shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's just.
Honestly, I'm having more fun in the movie. In the first half when the park's still open.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
It's just seeing the park, I'm actually like, I'm filled with a sense of wonder that is missing from the second half.
Yeah.
With one noticeable exception.
Again, I would argue maybe that's part of the problem here is like, we're talking about how this is in the future and people have grown bored with all this. But as a viewer, we don't get any of that. Like, we are still marveling at all this shit. And like, how could you be bored of this?
Again, don't forget, her saying people bored of this was her sales pitch to Verizon Wireless for investment. Like, don't lose focus on that. Because then you're going to go home if you thinking that, like, they're saying that we're bored of it. Mm. Well, we're not. That's why they made $1.5 billion. Mm. Right.
So, I like this Claire logic here, where Karen's pissed that, like, Claire didn't drop everything she was doing. And
Karen is the kid's mom, yeah, by the way. We didn't really go into that at all. But yeah.
That's true. We did skip that. She's pissed at Claire because, Claire isn't, with the kids.
Yeah.
Go. I guess Karen just assumed Claire was going to be with the kids the whole time. I don't know. Either way, Claire's like, it's all right. She's with Zara. She's British, and British invented nannies.
Mm-hmm.
That's which immediately causes Karen to cry.
That's a joke.
As it should.
As well it should, yes. Yeah.
She's Mary Poppins, y'all.
Yeah. All right. And then, she goes, she picks up Owen, and, there's some tension there. They had a date once. They're an odd couple. Who cares?
Yeah.
All right. Then you get to see the Mosasaurus, and holy crap, that thing's freaking cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, this scene, I'm just like, whoa, okay. There's, I kind of wish this was a little earlier in the film, but it's still, it's a cool scene. Like,
well, you're basically playing the part of Zach,
mm-hmm.
the,
Neutrino?
Yes, the neutrino. You ride it in on your weird floating Cadillac.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Come on, Rob. Cadillacs and dinosaurs. It's a thing.
I hate you.
That's fair.
He is right, though.
He is, but I've had just enough beer to not tolerate that shit. So... Also, I have a confession to make.
Uh-oh.
I may have gone back to an old lover today.
Taco Bell?
I may have had Taco Bell.
Oh, no.
Your poor bathroom.
It's Will's fault.
You mean his throne of blood?
Yes. On a something of pain. I sat on a throne of blood. Anyway, what the hell were we talking about?
So we're talking about Mosasaurus. It eats a great white shark. Yeah. It's real cool.
Yeah. And at this point, Zach is even starting to like get on board with the park because he's like, that was cool as hell.
Yep.
Yeah, particularly, it's not just we see the shark, you know, lowered down and eating it, but then everybody gets lowered below the sea level so you can see through the glass as it tears this thing apart. Like, that's awesome.
So now we go back to Claire and Owen at the Indominus enclosure, and it just immediately escapes.
I mean,
yes and no.
Like,
well,
it escapes due to criminal negligence.
Yeah. Right.
Well, yeah, this is where a whole train of stupidity also starts out with, if
going
I can talk about this for a moment.
The rails on my stupid train.
Yeah. It started for me big time when Claire goes up and taps on the window like it's a fish tank.
Well, I mean,
what the fuck?
She's just a dumb woman. She doesn't understand.
The views and opinions expressed by Rob are those of Rob alone.
The Dorito bag is open and everything.
Yeah, but I was going for a fudge round. So,
when you said just enough beer.
The views and opinions expressed by Rob are...
No, all right. So,
I know casually it slipped out, too. It's not even like, hey, guys, I'm playing around here. It's just...
Yeah. There was no wink to the audience or us.
I would like to point out to the audience, there is nothing that I say that is not premeditated.
Does that make it better or worse?
These guys just can't keep up. Yeah. So I don't know why she taps on the glass, and I don't know why Tony's making a thing out of it.
It's tough.
It was just a dumb moment.
Yeah. So, yeah,
it's a dumb moment. Like, all
right.
So this thing, the Indominus Rex, it's a Tyrannosaurus, but it's white. All right.
it's got longer arms.
It's got velociraptor arms.
Yeah. And it's fucking brilliant.
It is smart.
It is thought 8 steps ahead of everyone else.
I mean, it's
movie.
Like well, it's like octopus smart.
It discovered it had 2 powers and hid both of them from everybody observing it and used them both at the same time that it knew it had.
Well, I mean,
on a very complicated
way. Well, to be fair,
yeah.
Like, we've seen the security guard for its enclosure.
Yeah.
He was more concerned about his sandwich than he was any safety at the park.
And looking at it from a B movie perspective, this is all perfectly permissible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
But it somehow
it's
not only.
It's got to escape somehow.
Yeah, it not only knew that they were tracking it through, like, heat signatures, it knew it could disguise them. And then it clawed up one wall to make it look like it got out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's really good.
Yeah.
Or a dinosaur, that's like, fucking amazing.
Personally, animals are fucking smart.
Mm-hmm.
Even the ones that we don't think are smart are fucking smart. We just don't pay attention to them.
Right.
And in this movie here, they don't pay attention to it. And, like, so they don't realize that it tests patterns and figures. Like, even in the first fucking movie.
They never hit the same spot. Yeah, the same spot.
Like they're not... Just because they're not on the same level that we are doesn't mean they're not smart.
So I'm not saying it shouldn't be smart.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying the folly of this movie is the hubris of they're not human. Fuck them. They're, you know.
Yep.
And this thing's like we were around for millions of fucking years because
it's basically the tagline of the film franchise. Yeah. At this point. Yeah.
Is we never learn.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because we've gone through 3 different times that a T-Rex has fucked some shit up.
I mean, just think about it, right? Like, so the way this thing gets out is it lowers its body temperature to blend it in with its surroundings. So it is not showing up on the thermal scans. But beforehand, it scratched the walls up where the exit was to make it seem like it climbed out.
Right? And it has active camouflage.
They don't know that until later.
Well, yeah, but it's using it here.
Yeah, it's using it here.
And it knows Porkins ain't paying attention.
But they say before it they lost a person because it was it caught someone feeding it, whatever.
Well, it knew how the feeding process worked.
So it was stalking people feeding it. So they had to change it around a little bit. So already it sees patterns. if you were watching it, you'd see it was attacking the wall. Why is it doing that? Maybe I should pay attention to it.
Yeah.
You know. So, but they're not doing that. So right. it's just a matter of if you pay attention. If you were doing the science part, like Owen does, do the research part, you would see these behaviors.
Also, if you consulted anybody who knew about designing a cage, it would have more than one door.
Right.
Right. Well, I wanted to bring that up. It does have more than one door.
It has one big door for the dinosaur and one little door for the people.
None of those, like the raptor cage, there's two sets of doors to keep you from, like, if it gets through one set of doors.
It should have, like, an airlock door, for sure.
But I was also like, let's have a little people-sized door near that big door, so when the guy freaked out, he can go through the little door that the giant monster can't get through.
Like, even, like, in the big door, you know?
Yeah, whatever.
I don't understand why I didn't just go back to the door.
I'm willing to give this the movie a pass here, because
that's where it came from when it
The dinosaur guy in between
them. If Indominus Rex doesn't escape, we don't have a movie.
Right.
Yes. I just wish it was a little harder for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, you set up that it's really smart and everything. Yeah. Let's maybe find a smarter way for it to get away.
But like, this is like the people that cage their dog, and then every morning they notice the dog is in bed with them, and they're like, well, how the fuck the dog getting out of bed every fucking morning? Like, what the fuck? When you realize, oh, it figured out how to open the fucking cage because it's not a dumb animal. Like, mm-hmm. But it takes something to happen before you realize it. Like,
but yeah, the point is, it's time for dino damage. So this thing breaks out.
It breaks the fuck out. Like, it's it's not even like when Owen and two other guys go in there to check out on it, and it has them trapped. Like, it's like it cuts off their escape route. Yeah. Like, it's
which fucking... right away, like, even when I saw this in theaters, I was just like, that one dude wasn't given a name yet, so you know he's dead. And then when the other guy showed up, I was like, oh, we didn't even see you approach. You are so gone. Yeah,
He's like, I'm here to add to the body count.
Yeah. We're off to die now? All right.
They should have red shirts on.
Yeah.
It blocks the small entrance to get out. So the big fat dude decides to open the big door to get out.
Fuck the millions of other lives. Yeah. My life is the most important.
Let me open the big ass door part and just run the fuck. Like, not even like let me close behind me. Like, let me just open it.
Yeah.
And keep
running. We've come a long way from Muldoon and his team of 20 people to load one raptor.
Yeah. <again. laughs>
Joffrey, raise the gate.
He opens the big ass door, and immediately the controller was like, close the door.
Yeah, Mr. Ronnie's like, what the hell are you doing?
So Indominus Rex is also strong as fuck. Because the door is closing, and it's closed to be narrow enough that it can't fit out. It's like, fuck your door. And it just smashes
Five ton animal. Yeah,
I mean, he's...
You're not...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it makes sense.
He had a full head of steam, and then the door was no longer joined together for additional support.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so then, it eats the other dude out there. Like, Owen has to pour gasoline on himself so it can't smell him.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our first really good look at the whole dinosaur.
Yeah.
And it's like, it really is a T-Rex and a raptor.
It's kind of boring looking.
Yeah, like,
honestly.
Well, I'm okay with the look. It's just I don't like that the movie had the audacity to hide the fact that it was bred with a raptor for some exciting reveal when you're like, what the fuck else was it bred with? Come on. Like,
it looks like a raptor, the
size of a T-Rex.
It looks like a big raptor.
Yeah. What are the two key players in your franchise? Of course you bred those two together.
And slightly more skull-looking face.
Yeah.
You needed Chris Pratt to, explain it to you in his ridiculous accent.
Mm-hmm. Although, again, this is a big part of the issue I have, is the whole kind of reveal of that shit, particularly how everyone's like, it's the T-Rex and classified. Like, who the fuck is classifying this? Does no one know that? I know the answer, but it's the dumbest answer you could have gotten.
Fast forward, the owner talks to the head scientist about
Dr. Wu.
Yeah, about what it's bred with. And he tells the owner it's classified. And I'm like, motherfucker, I'm the fucking owner.
Yeah.
Like, hey, your child.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like,
this isn't the military. Like, I have security clearance.
But I mean,
the head of this shit. Yeah.
But it turns out Dr. Wu works for InGen, which is above.
In theory.
Yeah.
I guess they're the. I don't even know how that works. Are they shareholders of the park?
Well, it was weird because
I think it's the difference. He owns the park; they own the dinosaurs, kind of deal, essentially. Or they own the people making the dinosaurs.
No,
but, yeah.
So anyway, so we deploy at asset containment. We got like the dino SWAT team here.
We get a scene from Aliens.
Yeah.
Is what we get.
Yeah.
And it really is, actually.
It really is. Like, yeah, and I kind of wish that they had put, like,
less cooler.
Apone is one of the names.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome. A nice little nod. But
yeah.
But they're going at this raptor with what looks like, or not raptors, Indominus, yeah. It's Phacosaurus. With what raptor. Looks like paintballs.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't. Like, they had like a little net launcher. And,
so, yeah, they're trying to contain this thing.
I'm not sure what the other thing is.
It tore out its own. Tracking device
somehow,
which they find on the ground. Well, because it was just in its arm.
Yeah, it was. It was in a weird spot where it's like, why isn't it at the back of its neck?
Right. Yeah, that's what I said.
I mean, granted, it could have reached the back of its neck, but it would have had a harder time.
There's somewhere where it can't reach.
Right. Exactly. You put it there, you put it where it can't reach it. Like, you know, anywhere that it can't reach it. But so they send this group out, and they say, you know, it's this monster is worth $26 million. You can't use lethal force. And so they're
Chris Pratt's like they're using non-lethal. They're all dead.
Yeah, they're gonna die. That's,
say goodbye to
but
them.
It doesn't even look like they're using tranquilizing devices. It just looks like they're using
stun shit.
Also, yeah, stun stuff.
The R&D was $26 million. Like, you got this genome.
Right, you
now.
Have
let's
the
make
DNA.
Another one.
Yeah, just pump another one out, man. Yeah.
All right, so it's gonna take it a little while longer to grow up, but
yeah, but whatever. Who cares?
Maybe you can train this one with the help of Chris Pratt
build
this time.
A better cage.
Yeah, right. Oh, learn from your mistakes.
You know what you could do? You could at least tell the containment team that it has optic camouflage.
Right. So, yeah, instead of doing all that, they shoot these little blue balls at it and nets in its face, and it just wrecks the whole team.
No, the net worked.
For a second.
It did work, but then it's like, I'm fucking strong. I'm like trees over on you, and it does.
Well, yeah, but it's like, I also have arms long enough that I can reach my face to pull this off. Like,
well, also, like, asset protection should have, like, reasonably believable things, like non-lethal ways of taking down the dinosaur. Like,
well, again, this is all predicated on the, if anyone told them any kind of idea of what this was capable of, they would have been more prepared.
Yeah.
But
like,
no.
Why not some sort of all-terrain vehicle that's reinforced and has just like a giant taser on the front of it, that you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Either way, this thing's got to get its kill count up, and it sure does.
It takes out like 12 people.
Yeah, Chris Pratt like, just standing in front of the screen watching all the flat lines happen. It's like, told you.
Yeah, like it was just a sacrifice to the
I do love, like, after it kills like three or four people, we still have that one guard who like gets up in its face with a stun baton. I was like, no way in hell that you are not paying me enough for that shit.
I'm using that stun baton on the person next to me so it eats him while I run away.
Exactly.
That's it. And Owen's like, well, you're not listening to me, so I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is when the kids get on the gyrosphere, and right after they leave, the ride gets closed. And true to, like, real theme parks, there's, like, a 17-year-old manning the controls. He does not know what to do.
This is the most legit line in the entire film. Yeah. He's like, sorry, everybody, the ride's closed. And then people are getting pissed off, and it's like, and he legitimately said, guys, I just work here. Like, for real, man. He said the ride's closed. There's a reason. You're in, you are in a park with dinosaurs that famously, 20 years prior, had tried to open a park with dinosaurs, and they all got out and killed a bunch of people.
One got out and went, it came to the mainland. It killed
a lot. And there was that. We tried to do it again somewhere on U.S. soil, and a T-Rex got out in San Francisco.
So the minute somebody says, sorry, the ride's closed, you'd be like, oh, shit, where can I hide?
This was another issue I had. Because somewhere in here, Moneybags, whatever his name is like, oh, don't shut down the whole park and evacuate everyone because we'll close down and we'll never be able to open again.
No,
like,
he said, well, all right. Said was a dinosaur getting out is
we're
an
supposed
eventuality.
To be able to handle this. Yeah.
We should be able to handle it.
Which I do understand.
And he's right to a point.
Yeah.
If it had been a T-Rex, they'd have been fine because they were like, we know how to do this now.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
But this monster they made.
But the thing is, just trank it.
Yeah.
Why shock it? Just trank it. Like, you already had a scene earlier on where there were pachycephalosaurs getting out of control, and they tranked them.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about how they were high or whatever.
Mm.
Why are you not tranquilizing this creature?
You, Again, it'd be great to try and get to drones.
In theory,
drones.
True story.
Yeah.
In theory, maybe those paintballs were somehow a trank device. We don't know.
I will call drones. Drones are the cell phone argument from the 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
Because cell phones would have fixed everything in the 80s, 90s. True. Like, drones would have...
Honestly, at this point, you could just
But we had drones.
You could have just have a quadcopter that's literally just, like, the four blades, the control system, a whole bunch of tranquilizer drugs, and then it's just surrounded in meat. and you just sacrifice it to it. It just eats the hell out of it and drugs itself.
They also gotta have, like, five of them flying around its face and just do, like, a crop dust.
Yeah.
Some kind of, you know,
something for it to gas inhale
that
will
knock out. Yeah. But
so the kids are out.
Oh, wait. But my other thing was, you know, he tells them not to close it down. They do eventually, like, start shutting off portions of this park and kind of get everyone together.
Yeah.
And again, as you said with the, you know, we previously had an issue with this park. So I can't believe no one here was like, oh, I'm leaving. Like, what? Oh, the ride's closed. I'm gone. Fuck this. Yeah. I can't go on the ride I want.
They probably were. They probably just didn't make them part of the movie.
Yeah, well, but because there's way too many people still hanging around on that main street. I mean, like,
if I was
drinking their margaritas and shit.
If I was on a Carnival cruise and we hit turbulence, I'd be like, I'm out.
Yeah. This is what I'm saying.
Get me a dinghy.
Like, oh, Jurassic Park looks great. What's that? The teacup ride is down? I don't trust this shit. I'm on the next boat out of here.
So
fuck that.
All right. So here comes, like, one of my big beefs here. And I understand it's, you know, if this doesn't work, the movie doesn't happen. But so these kids are on the gyroscope ride. And they have their special all-access passes.
Yep.
Because, you know, they're the nephews of the head mucky muck here.
We have a Jimmy Fallon to deal with, too.
I don't want to even talk about Jimmy Fallon right now.
Fair enough.
I can't even make him part of the podcast. It's just awful. Mm-hmm. If you like Jimmy Fallon, shame on you. Go rethink your life. So they're off on this little field. And it's so, like, this gyrosphere, thank you, is... It's just a ball made of bulletproof glass, and, like, they're just open in a field of triceratops and stegosaurs, and there was even, like, apatosaurs in there. Mm-hmm. And, like, I guess they've sized it to where, like, it's either too tall for the apatosaurs to step on, and maybe, like, just shaped right so triceratops can't really hit it with their horns, or I don't know, but... Whatever. For whatever reason, they deemed these safe for travel through the herbivores.
I like that it keeps you upright and you can... So if you get bumped or whatever,
yeah,
you don't go rolling around.
Yeah, and I'm guessing these dinosaurs are probably used to people going through enough that they don't really think anything of it. But so they shut the ride down. How is there not a remote control on these
things to return them? Seriously, yeah. Also, like, Walt Disney World won't let you take a damn golf
go-kart around the track
without you being on some sort of line restricting where you can go.
Well, yeah,
you're not free roaming with these things around giant animals.
That's one of the things. Like, I understand this is what everyone wants from the park, but this is not something a park would ever allow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It might give you, like, choices where you can go down different paths, but you're not, like,
you're not
free ranging
track.
With, like, this thing.
Earlier in the movie, they show a river ride.
Mm-hmm.
Where you go on a little kayak or a raft or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're just going down this river. It's like a super narrow river. Yep. It's got herbivores on either side. That I totally get.
Mm-hmm.
They can go from one end of the river to the other. They probably have, like, an invisible barrier that you can't really see.
Yeah. Or, I mean, you have a guide with you who can take control of the situation.
Hopefully. That I totally get. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And on top of that, Claire tries to call them. They pick up. There's no reception.
Yeah, cell phones don't work when you...
So here's the thing. All right. We've already learned in this movie that Masrani, who funds the park, is also part of telecoms.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking Verizon Wireless is sponsoring this Indominus Rex.
Maybe they needed that sponsorship to get the cell phone powers.
You would think that cell phone companies would be fighting over each other to get cell phone towers on this park.
Not just cell phones, Mike. Let's not forget when they first went in the Indominus Rex park. Or yeah,
walkie-talkies.
Yes. His walkie-talkie didn't even pick up.
Like, no communication.
Are you kidding me?
Like, was there like an EMP field here? Right, or yeah,
what's
like,
going on?
That's one, or of, is the that one of the powers.
Honestly, I think it might be a power that
he's got, like Silent Hill, where the radio crackles when he's near.
I mean, it could be like
this, like for like legit part E in it, which is why the taser shits didn't work.
Are you serious? I believe you. I would totally believe you.
It's just it's one of those things that seems a little silly, like that none of these communication devices work. Mm-hmm. I know you're in Costa Rica, but you're also in a major, probably the most major theme park in the world,
off Costa Rica.
Right. But like, still, you're in a the most major theme park in the entire world.
Had the capital to start from the ground up with modern technology,
right? And you've presumably been in business for a few years at least.
Or you're, as we say many times, spared no expense.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Fucking put some towers
in there. If the theme was like the park did not have enough money and cut costs opening, and like, you know, now some shit, you know, might not work because they did
that, would explain a lot.
Some shady practices.
Yeah.
That would explain a lot.
So now, what I would do if I own this park, I would intentionally have no cell phone towers, right? So your phones don't work, so you can't take pictures of shit, whatever.
Oh, maybe that's it, though.
But I would have my own cell phone towers.
Oh yeah, there would still be a network.
You can rent phones from me.
Yeah.
Yep. That's fair.
Yeah, to take pictures on at the end of your trip. Mm-hmm. We'll give you a package to get your pictures printed out.
You are a shrewd.
Oh yeah,
shrewd businessman.
Yes, not having cell phones work, I can totally get behind. But yeah, like, these things should have some kind of radio to get back to the mainland or the main tower, or whatever. Like, you should have some kind of communication.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but also Disney, if I remember right, can find you by your magic band, can't they?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. This park should be able to do that.
Well, I believe they, they couldn't, could they?
No.
What?
They couldn't find the kids when they went run off, so.
Well, no, they found the gyrosphere.
They found the sphere, but.
All right.
But this was the other thing, like, because these kids suck. They're just like, oh, we're special, so let's go check out this fence that has obviously been smashed through by something.
Yeah.
Because that seems like a good idea.
Which is kind of funny, because like, they're like little bands. Even the package that they come in, it was totally like a mock-up of like Disney Magic Bands.
Oh, they were definitely...
That was just starting out when the movie came
out. Yeah, they were meant to be Disney bands, right, for sure.
So, I didn't realize Magic Bands are that new. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so then redact my last point. Also, though, the Ankylosaur... Like, they were in with Ankylosauruses in the beginning, right? Well, they were going past Triceratops.
There were no Ankylosaurs.
Okay,
there.
I thought
that
I
was
had
until
saw
until they
one.
Went through the fence.
Oh, okay. It's pronounced Ankylosaur?
I'm sure.
Okay, whatever.
Someone will correct us, I'm sure.
Fair enough.
But I would also argue, even if you did see one on the other side, if that's like some basis of your point, since the gate was broken, they could have just wandered through.
Well, no. Well, the thing I was wondering is, I was like, this thing is built to withstand dinosaur attacks, and the first tail swipe it takes breaks right there. But I mean, if the Ankylosaurs were not in the area where this thing was allowed to go, then that's fine.
I thought I saw one
while I was in there.
And like, the Ankylosaur, it wasn't the Ankylosaur strike that broke it. It was the fact that it hit it into a tree or something.
Yeah, it got hit by the T-Rex into, like, it was already in motion going real fast.
Yeah.
Just like a baseball. It cracked it and like,
It was, although, again, I would argue other dinosaurs could do that.
Yeah, but it wasn't
I'm not saying they can't. I'm just saying it's weird that you're sending people out in these bubbles with dinosaurs that can break right through.
Yeah. The Ankylosaurs were not in that enclosure. Yeah. It was all Triceratops and I think Parasaurolophus and stuff like that.
But also, this is Indominus has no problem just smashing a finger through this thing.
Yeah. Well, he's all points and muscle and whatnot. I have no problem that he can maul this gyrosphere. That's basically what happens.
Yeah,
next, right?
There's a big difference between a 50 caliber bullet and a 5 ton monster.
Well, it's also the 50 caliber bullet hits with a lot of force for a split second, where this is just protracted exposure to
just constant pressure.
Yeah. I would say, well, that's the thing. My point was more that, like, when he's biting on it, he starts breaking through. I get that. They got big, powerful jaws. I'm totally behind that. But the first time he breaks through, it's the equivalent of tapping on the glass with his finger. So yes, I don't know if his finger is that tapping. Powerful.
He's like slamming his hand down into it.
No, he has his hand on the thing, but the finger just goes.
Either way, I mean, I don't mind that part. Indominus Rex it can disappear.
It's a fakeosaurus.
It can break a plastic bubble. But
at the end of this, it flies home.
Yeah. He uses the power of plot convenience.
Yeah. You know, I would have liked it better though if it did kind of use its smarts for a second, like rolled around a little bit, and then it was like you see it like pick it up and take it over to a cliff or something and just drop it off.
Oh yeah, like a bird.
Something like that. Yeah, like, that would be pretty awesome.
A seagull.
Yeah. Like honestly, I would have enjoyed it.
Or like threw it against shit or something.
If it just
like
played
that.
With it. Yeah. It's like literally it's the first toy it's seen. Like it's a ball. Yeah. If it started hitting around, it's like,
This was genetically bred to kill everything in sight. Which, can we just get into that for a moment?
It probably does have human DNA.
Well, that part they never discussed, because was it bred to kill?
What Chris Pratt says is that, what his character says, is that this thing has been solitary confinement.
Yeah.
Hasn't seen anything else, so it's exploring, so it's probably going to kill everything it sees, because like it doesn't know what stuff is. Well, it's just
but then later on, he says it kills for sport.
Yeah, then he's like, shit. He's like, oh shit, it's killing for sport. Like,
nothing does that though.
Like, this is never explicitly said.
Right, but this is not a natural creature.
This is never explicitly said, but because of the reveal of BD Wong's character working with InGen and all them to create this soldier weapon, whatever, I think they intentionally created a serial killer. Like,
yeah,
this,
I can believe that.
This is like Russell Crowe from Virtuosity in Dinosaur Form.
Yeah, because it was meant to become a soldier, right? Yeah, like, they were going to make it smaller. And
sorry, but... But like that's because we see soon after this, it just goes through a field and like starts snapping necks and running off.
Like, yeah, well, we added cuttlefish DNA to make it handle rapid growth, and we hit tree frog DNA to fill in sequence gaps, and we added just a little Ted Nugent DNA. Yeah.
Or Ted Bundy. Either way, sure.
Where did it find an AR-15? Anyway,
So, the Second Amendment is my gun license.
Yeah. It's like a Rod Swanson. It's just like, oh, here's my permit. It just says a piece of paper. It says, I do what I want. Anyway, I do like the conversation, though, with BD Wong's character, where he's like, look, you wanted me to make a cool monster. I made a cool monster.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I didn't want you to make that. He's like, well, you weren't here. Like, you know, you weren't very specific. Yeah.
Like it said, make it cooler.
Yeah. And in fairness, it appears that BD Wong did not realize that it had all these capabilities either. Or at least that's the angle he's playing.
He seemed honestly shocked when they were like, it camouflaged. What?
See, but that's, again, I maybe he didn't know, but like I think that was the intent, because they explicitly show later on when they go into his secret lab, there's a chameleon. So this is part of the soldier thing. He was hoping it would have this. He just didn't realize it did because it hadn't shown it yet.
Because it's smarter than him. Boa constrictors.
Yeah. Also, chameleons are pretty terrible at changing their color to match the environment. They sort of do it, but they also change it to like with their emotional state.
It's movie logic. Yeah.
That mixed with cuttlefish, so it's kind of like.
Change colors like a bat.
Yeah. Like, he already said there was cuttlefish DNA in there, so it's like.
But I'm saying, like, in movie terms, it's everyone thinks chameleons can change like that. So right. Yeah.
Plus, they had to show that cool scene where that chameleon just grabbed his food, like, that's mine.
And I think the snake's just there to show why it's albino, maybe. No. I don't know.
So, yeah, that's why I think it's for his eyes.
Yeah. Oh, that could, it did.
Oh, well, it also said it could sense heat.
And the snake.
Although, is that constrictors? I thought that was his vipers.
I don't know.
Well, why was Rob Schneider in that library? I mean, in the laboratory.
What, a stapler?
Yeah. Oh, that was to give it its stapling powers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And its ability to plant itself in the ground like a carrot.
Rob Schneider is Indominus Rex.
It also, when no one's around, it's just like... Derp, derp, derp.
Rob Schneider is a Jurassic Park security guard.
So anyway. All right, so the kids basically, they get away by jumping in a waterfall and... Apparently Indominus Rex doesn't care that much. Although it watches for a while to see if they come up.
Yeah, they
it's thinking about going after them, like, and it's just like, you know what? I don't know.
Like, that's a scene from the first book, actually, mm-hmm. Jurassic Park book, when they were running away from a Tyrannosaurus. They jumped in the water. So
there's a few things, actually, because even in the book, B.D. Wong's character says to John Hammond the whole thing, like, nothing here is natural. That's from the first book as well. But anyway.
That's where, Owen and Claire, they go out into the field and they see a bunch of, were those apatosaurs or were those like Diplodocus or something?
Well,
or?
I want to point out, like, Owen and Claire are not trying to find the kids, but like, so Claire has called for emergency, she's called for evacuation in the north part of the park, all this stuff. And then like, one scene, she's watching cameras and there's a mother and daughter hug each other and she goes, fuck my nephews.
Yeah,
she totally forgot they existed. So, like, she calls Owen immediately, like, Owen, help me find my nephews, please. So now they're out trying to find them, finally.
So, yeah, they see the field of dead, what, it was apatosaurs?
Yeah, we'll say, whatever.
Well, you get the touching moment where one dies.
Vague sauropods.
Yeah. They built the actual puppets from, like, the first movie. Yeah. They had them still, like that. Like, it was touching because it was, like, for real sad looking.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
All right. I'd have been crying on set, just crying like, oh, it's dying.
I'd be like, load it into my trailer. I'll take it home.
It's I think that's so the other sad. Reason I wasn't crying as much as I'm picturing this Indominus Rex and like, oh yeah, by the way, we put a little Seagal in him and he's just going through snapping the dinosaur neck.
No, because when you look at the pile of dead ones in the field, I'm
it's ridiculous.
Did they just not run? Like, did he sneak up on all of them and just neck snap them? Like,
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's he doesn't know. I mean, they all had like super big slash marks on their bodies.
Yeah, he's a stone
like
cold killer. All right, so
he just found out that he can kill stuff, so he's like, I'll kill everything.
So now he likes it.
Yeah.
Zach and Gray, they find the wreckage of the old Jurassic Park building.
In the theater, I cried.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was
pretty cool.
It gets you.
You get the feels.
Like, in, like, monotone, like, notes. Well, not monotone, like, single notes in the background music. Mm-hmm. The music is awesome. Like, they play the theme from this one during the scene, but it's only like ding, ding, ding. It's like real slow. Yeah. Like they're playing it, like, oh, it's all emotional shit. Like,
yeah, this is, like, on the one hand, I want to be like, congratulations. On the other hand, I want to be like, you manipulative son of a bitch.
Well, see, because of the emotional state I'm in from all of the injustices I've endured so far, I'm like, I would rather be watching Jurassic Park 1 now.
Well,
and that part, that's why I'm like, I liked the idea of bringing him here, though. I thought it was done well, but I think just how the movie was flowing for me, I'm like, can we just watch Jurassic Park 1?
Well, I get that, but like, this was literally like, all right, we're gonna play this song. Mm-hmm. We'll just pull on your heartstrings here and
It is a really cool throwback, though, and I'm a curmudgeon-y bastard.
But yeah, we see the whole banner that fell down. Mm-hmm. We get some of the bones that they had displayed there, and possibly a raptor.
I guess it is the jungle, but like, that place went to shit fast.
Yeah, it did.
Well, it's been 20 years.
Yeah,
it's
been 20 years. I mean, and it is the jungle. The jungle does grow pretty damn fast. All right, so
that, and apparently a T-Rex size hole was in the side of the building the whole time anyway, so it just came right in.
I mean, it's 20 in movie years. Like, they found the Jeeps, like, 1992.
But, like, the thing is, like, the area around that building was reasonably clear in the first movie, and now there's, like, giant trees outside the building.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well, they may even have, like
helped along.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, they may have put those trees there specifically to cover, like, old park. They're like, yeah, we don't want, be. You know, just
they
kind of
want, don't, they don't want people thinking about it.
Right, yeah.
So, all right, so InGen's like, got this. Vincent D'Onofrio's like, I got this plan. We're going to use the Velociraptors to hunt the Indominus Rex.
Yeah, this is how we'll prove that they are good
how
soldiers.
How can this go wrong?
Easy.
Yeah. Every possible way.
And Vincent D'Onofrio is just playing up that, like, I'm that douche that doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And it's obviously, like, high on his own hubris.
Yeah, I do like, he's just like, okay, there's a giant T-Rex monster creature that's headed towards, like, where we've gathered all the families together. So the best way to deal with this is take some more not very tamed, angry, killing animals and let them loose in the park. Yeah.
Meanwhile,
genius.
Masrani here, he's like, I got this. get that Gatling gun, you know, put it on my helicopter, going after him. They're like, should we get your pilot? And he's like, oh, he's probably off puking somewhere. Okay, I got this.
Forget that guy.
Yeah, I, while watching it today, I said, like, this part bothers me a lot because this park would have a helicopter team, a unit.
Yeah.
Because there'd be, like, emergency evac helicopters. There'd be, yep. like, transport helicopters.
There'd be a Life Star here. Yeah,
there'd be
all
stuff
the time.
Here all the time. So, like, so yeah. the... I'm like, there's someone who could fly the helicopter yeah, like better
this,
than you. Like
this
here.
Park only has one helicopter.
Yeah.
Period. No. Like,
yeah. Also, I would argue, like, he's on this helicopter with this team that he's gathered. I don't know if they're engine or whatever, but and he's talking about how some of them were, you know, like came from the military, like wherever they were stationed or something like that. And I would imagine a few of them would be like, wait, and you learned how to fly like today? We got a guy. Fuck you. Get out of here. Like we're not messing around with this shit.
Yeah. There'd be more than one trained pilot on the island. Yeah. You know,
like we are a trained military unit. We are not going with some amateur.
On the same time, though, I like that they went with him only because it answers like all the common complaints I have whenever a helicopter's in a movie.
Okay.
In how it's used, because it's always used wrong, and it makes sense that you have an amateur at the controls who can only kind of control it.
Okay.
What happened? What transpires? I think was actually like I thought I was going to be really mad, and I liked how they addressed it.
It's like they do have a whole helicopter team, but he was like, "It's my helicopter. I'm flying it.
I want the credit for this kill."
Yeah,
exactly. Mine.
You kill stealing bitches.
Yeah. My save.
So yeah, the boys they what you call it? They get the Jeep to work. They do like a brother bonding, fix the Jeep. Pretty cool. Drive off on a 20-year-old Jeep.
Yeah. Which like one thing I know y'all hate kids in movies, whatever. Mm-hmm. But like
who's y'all? I mean, no, you're right.
Yeah. mm-hmm. But like these kids, they got in trouble. They got themselves out of trouble.
Yep.
They were okay. They were
yeah, and none of these motherfuckers were like hanging off an electric fence when it turned on or anything.
Dude,
like
so
this.
Stupid. You could fit right through that fence.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll save that for
but, yeah,
save that for your next 20.
Like I thought I was gonna hate the kids. And the kids actually were not really a problem in this movie. And like I liked a lot of these scenes. I mean there was some plots with the kids where I'm like, we don't need to see this.
Right.
See.
Which we've kind of glazed over, but.
Yeah, that's what, they do a lot of stupid stuff. And while they, I give them credit for things like they got themselves into some trouble, they got themselves out of it. It does seem to serve just more as a, to get them to continue moving, to have Chris Pratt and the others continue to chase them.
Yeah.
So it's more of a tie for me, or closer to a tie, and just still not liking the kids for their dumb decisions. But.
All right.
So I would argue you're probably your biggest issue with these Jeeps would be your tires would be so gone.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, yeah. I think there would be a few parts that would just, they would not be working anymore. Yeah, right.
But anyway, that's nitpicking.
So either way, Indominus Rex, like Owen and Claire show up right afterwards and then Indominus Rex shows up too.
Yeah.
And they have a little tense moment in the garage where like where it's doing like a peekaboo thing for a while. He's like, kind of know you're in here.
Oh, he knows they're in there because he's trying to push that Jeep over.
He's and he's like, I'm going to take my head out and you guys are going to think you're cool. I'm going to smash through the fucking wall. Like, he's like equal parts tactical and Sasquatch. He's
this old building is just made out of popsicle sticks. I'm coming right through.
Going to make you poop your pants.
I forgot about that.
It's
an old chestnut.
All right. So now we luckily, like, Masrani comes in here with the save.
Sort of.
Yeah. Well, the save for the heroes. Mm-hmm. The sacrifice, I should say. Okay, so, yes, in real life, a minigun would have no problem hitting this thing. But if the helicopter's being flown by
an
idiot, novice, the guy's firing arc might not be in the right position to actually shoot it. Mm-hmm. And then, like, it smartly runs into an enclosure. And it does the old Sean Connery, like, chook, 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 scare up all the birds kind of move.
Now, do we get this scene because in the first movie, they skipped it out of the book?
I think there was a pterodactyl part.
Yeah. In the book, there was a whole aviary thing.
They do that
thing.
In the third movie, too, I think.
Yes.
But I have trouble remembering the third movie.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, neither the third movie's one or this one is quite like it was in the first book, but I'm sure this is probably, you know, more of an homage kind of deal.
So yeah,
like my, the others.
Point is, my two classic complaints in all helicopter scenes of the helicopter's weapons wouldn't have any problem hitting the giant thing in front of it.
Right.
And the helicopter would be flying so high that whatever's happening in the scene would be negated by its altitude. But if it's person's an amateur flying it and he's flying too low, then yes, it makes sense that all the pterodactyls would slam into the helicopter.
Right.
And cause it to crash.
And he gets exactly what you get when you fly too low and you don't know what you're doing.
Yep.
And try to professionally fly a helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
You smash into an aviary and you explode.
I remember seeing this in the theater. So like he doesn't die. Like the pterodactyl's like hit it and he's falling towards the dome. So and like in my head watching it, I'm like he'll probably like jump out some shit like that.
Yeah.
Fireball. Like, yeah. Like he is done. Yeah.
That was like, because I was like, I like this character.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's kind of cool.
Yeah,
he's
you like, think he would somehow survive the crash yeah, and they'd find a helicopter? No.
Nope. Fireball.
Because he's kind of like John Hammond. Like, and they set it up like he cares about the animals. He cares about mm-hmm. the park. Like,
yeah.
He has good intentions. And then he's just dead. And you're like, okay, all right.
I also mentioned this while watching it, but and I know this is based on a real animal. I will never remember its name, whatever this thing is.
Dimorphodon?
Sure. But like, I think it's because of the CGI or just their general design, but it looks like a Funko Pop version of whatever this is, because its head just looks way too big for its body. It's essentially like a T-Rex head on a pterodactyl body, but it's just the head looks way too big and it seems so awkward.
And my complaint,
that's for me,
for this, just like it was for the book, because it wasn't in the movie. Why would you make flying things like at a park? Like you can't contain, like they can get up and fly the fuck away. Mm-hmm. Like they're gone. Like why would you make that? Like
why did they create raptors? I don't know.
Like, at least raptors, like, you know, they mm-hmm. can't swim. That's like why make things that can swim? Why make things that they're able to fly? Like why?
Well, yeah.
Get out.
I don't know. I would still argue, especially in that first one, like, you're opening this, you know, this park, essentially a zoo for dinosaurs. Like, maybe for the first couple months, just start with the herbivores. Let's bring the right, herbivores yeah. in after, right?
Yeah, I know it's a little hard to swallow, but yeah, Dimorphodons did have ridiculous giant ass heads.
They did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking
at a skeleton right now.
Okay.
I can't show it to you, but yeah.
It's pretty terrifying, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. Big, like, I've seen on. The design before, but maybe it's just seeing in three dimensions or whatever, but, like, it just, like, it looks like there's no way that would fly.
All right. So the pterodactyls, once they get out and crash a helicopter, they're like, you know what'd be a good thing to do right now? It's murder.
Yeah.
Just everything.
Murder. We're free!
Yeah. This scene
it's
is...
not even like, let's explore the space. It's like, people are right over there. Let's go murder.
We are out.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, it's utter chaos,
yep.
this scene. And I like that, because it's kind of like,
oh, yeah.
This is what you get.
I was waiting for the scene, and I was, when I saw it in the trailer, I kind of was hoping there would be more than just pterodactyls, or whatever these things are, Dimorphodons, you're saying?
Yeah, it's Trinodons and Dimorphodons.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It would be more than just those two things attacking, like, maybe other dinosaurs were out, and you get, like, that full chaos.
Yeah.
That being said, though,
Jumanji style stampede. Yeah,
this is still a really cool rampage.
Yes.
Yeah.
And friggin' Zara here gets swoop grasped.
So poor girl. This dad.
Yeah. I mean, she kind of sucked, but like
she sucked, but like not
for this.
Not
no,
what she got.
Because here's the thing: her suckiness is like the equivalent of what we saw from the older kid. But she had far less screen time, so she annoyed me way less.
She
had
the worst death in the movie.
Then she gets the worst death in the movie. She is picked up by this pterodon?
It was a pteranodon.
Yeah. It picks her up, it drops her in this water.
A bunch of times.
It picks her up, it drops her, another one catches her.
Yeah.
That drops her, another one catches her.
They're all fighting over her.
Well, yeah, she gets dropped in the water a couple times, they dive in after her, they pick her up, they drop her again, they dive in. Like, they're half drowning her, half poking her to death, and finally one starts to fly away, and the Mosasaurus just comes up and goes, nope, and eats them all.
Yeah,
makes her into a turducken.
And I'm pretty sure, like, it got the pteranodon, so she's like in its maw for a while.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
You don't even get
turducken.
Like, you don't even get chewed up immediately.
But no, but
you're
here's
like,
the thing: Mosasaurus had in the back of its throat,
yep,
another set of teeth.
Okay,
yeah, That's an actual thing.
Yeah.
So Mosasaur actually had two sets of teeth so that whatever it bit onto couldn't get away.
Yeah.
Because it was already too far in there. So, yeah, she...
It's not a good time for
her. Yeah, she probably got sliced to crap.
Yeah, chances are she was bleeding to death while she was drowning in this crush, damn thing.
Crush drowns. She got like a Vigo the Carpathian death.
Yeah. Which, again, if she was someone from InGen or something, we might have been on board here. But no, she's just...
This should have been Vincent D'Onofrio's death.
Yeah.
For real.
No, there was no way one of those was picking him up.
That's true. Fair.
No. It tries to fly away and they fall off a balcony or something.
He had too many scenes with raptors. A raptor had to kill him.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. So now the monster containment here, or asset containment, gets deployed.
Oh, quick. This is, again, what I was talking about before with the, like, as the pterodactyls or whatever, they're all flying things are coming in. You see, like, there's a ton of people just, like, all huddled in this area, sweating their ass off. I'm like, why would anyone still be there? I'd gone home a long time ago.
Well, where would they you can't gone? Go? They're waiting on the boats.
Yeah.
This was just them waiting on the boats still?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. See, what I don't get with this park, though, is it doesn't seem like you can really... I mean, there was a hotel room, but it doesn't seem like there's a lot of adequate capacity to stay on grounds.
Yeah.
Which it would seem like you would have to do. Or are you just taking a boat in the morning and a boat back in the afternoon?
I think there were just boats every 45 minutes. Because they were talking like the next, you know, they kept having announcements. The next boat will arrive in 45 minutes. So
right.
I'm assuming that's kind of an all day long thing. Yeah. Just keep going out. You just choose your boat to go leave on.
Fair. But again, this is one of those, you probably should be, you know, better prepared for a full evacuation of all your people.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Which... added to that, somewhere around here, we get the control room has to leave.
That's a little later.
I guess. Yeah. All right. I'll hold off.
All right. So, they deploy the containment team and Owen, and they dart the hell out of most of these pterodactyls. When one gets on Owen, and Claire comes over and just butt strokes it with a rifle, tranks the hell out of it, picks him up and makes out with him.
Well, he makes out with her.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that
harasses her.
Yes. Bad touch.
In fair, though, like, I mean, that was pretty hot.
Yeah, like, guys at the table, if Chris Pratt came up to you and was like, I'm about to make out with your face.
I'd be like, where's your wife?
Isn't he divorced?
They are separated.
No, they're back together.
Oh, they really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd be like, congratulations, let's make out.
I'd be like, could Anna Faris be here? Like,
I mean...
Either way,
he answers it, I'm still making out with him.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Pratt is a handsome dude.
Yeah,
I'd be like, go mouse rat somewhere else, Chris Pratt.
Yeah, but he'd be like, I'm Star-Lord.
I have three Legos made after me, all right?
That's true. That's true.
No, I think the real point is you should always get consent first, but...
Sure, that's romantic. Right.
Anyway.
I say, take what you want.
So,
grab her butt. Okay.
All right. So now, they have some post-fight makeouts.
Robert
the group's
K.
reunited.
Trump.
InGen takes over the control room. They're like, "All right, we got like a SWAT team coming to the island now." And they reveal their plan to use the raptors. And I do like the scene though of like the people stampede where the party has to get inside an SUV to avoid it.
It's funny too when you see it, you think it's animals, not people.
Yeah,
and like that's a legitimate threat in an amusement park.
Yeah,
and probably my biggest fear.
I've been on the wrong end of one of those. I mean, at least it was just fast walking. But when I was in Universal and I got to go in an hour before the main park opens.
Yeah,
if you stay on grounds, we were something we had to get back at the main gate. And we were in the Harry Potter park shortly after it opens. We're heading back to the main gate and we came around a corner and it was just the wave of people going to Harry Potter right after the park opens.
Yeah.
And it's just a wall of people. And we had to stand on top of a picnic table and just hang out by the umbrella. It's just a wave of people swept by for five minutes.
That's grotesque.
Yeah. We did that at Disney the last time we were there too. When you go breakfast at one of the restaurants before the park opens.
Yeah. There's just so many people. You can't like fight your way through that.
Yeah.
And it's just not worth doing.
Sadly, one of the not very realistic parts going on here is that when this gate finally breaks, everyone just comes running out. And you see that one blonde guy in front. Like, if he was the first at that gate, he'd be like smashed against it and trampled to death. Yeah.
Yep.
Like, before even trampling, like, as everyone else is pushing in, they would have just shoved him against there till something broke.
All right. So they go over to the raptor cages.
Oh, wait, can we talk for a minute? Just the bullshit thing of, you know, we want to stay with him. Like, she's been the badass here. What the fuck's wrong with you kids?
No, she hasn't.
Nah.
No, she hasn't.
From their point of view, she has.
No, she hasn't.
She did one cool thing.
Chris Pratt's character is driven with confidence because he's designed to be, he's that guy. He's that character.
He's also wearing two guns.
Yeah.
If this were an RPG, he'd have an aura of testosterone that, like, friendly units would get bonuses.
Wait, legit. And Claire has her heels on still.
Yeah.
So.
Can we talk about this? All right. It's going to come up with the T-Rex thing because everyone talks about the T-Rex thing with her running these heels. But, like, she's already been running through the fucking jungle.
Mud,
uneven ground, roots, whatever. Those slippery stone steps to the old visitor center and shit. Like, there's no way she's gotten this far on those heels without breaking an ankle.
But the main reason why I'm picking Chris Pratt's character is because Aunt Claire's ditched us for a trip with her.
Yeah.
Fuck her.
Yep. That's fair. Plus, Gray is still at the girls are yucky point, and Zach is at the point of...
Zach's confused.
I'm feeling weird feelings, so I don't want to even acknowledge...
Like, this guy can give me some pointers. Like, I can learn some stuff watching
him. He's like, my aunt has breasts, and it's kind of hot.
Aunt Claire's breathing heavy, and I'm confused.
She's got, those crazy green eyes, and I'm like...
Yeah, Aunt Claire's looking good. This guy's looking good. There was a couple ladies on the tram I was... Yeah. Weirdly eyeballing.
Too many people to stare at.
Yeah, this dude, he was trying to Twilight all the girls in this movie.
It's so creepy. It was so creepy.
All right, so Owen, like, walks up to Vince D'Onofrio and just punches him right in the face, as you do.
Yeah.
And then they just have a Matt conversation. Murdoch. Like, they're, the guy's like, look, it's happening. These raptors are being used. You're either helping us or, you know.
We needed some kind of contrived way to get you on a motorcycle riding around with raptors.
Fucking motorcycle.
You know what? That was awesome. I don't care.
I like it too. I like it too.
Why doesn't he just get a quad like everybody? I don't know.
It had a quad
because
at one
it's
point.
A motorcycle.
Yeah.
I think it was a dirt bike, technically.
It was his dirt bike. He's working on it outside of his house.
Fair enough. It was a motorcycle, not a dirt bike.
I'll back off.
Check off his dirt bike.
All right, so
it was the only way you could keep up with them, and it was badass, and it was a poster.
It needed guns on it, though.
Needed guns.
Oh, yeah, if it was the one from Delta Force, then now we're talking.
Again, no.
32-hour-long Delta Force.
Well, he'd handle Indominus Rex with those mortars on the back. Anyway, so... basically, the plan here is they got some cameras on some raptors. The raptors are just going to track this thing down like bloodhounds.
One of these bloodhounds.
Yep.
Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Probably. You know, dogs in Costa Rica? Yeah, dogs in Costa Rica.
Not on this island.
I'm saying you have them there.
You would bring them with you.
You know why? All those flying things took them away.
Because motorcycles and dinosaurs is why.
Well, I know for the visual for the movie, I get it. But practicality wise, like, it's more practical to train bloodhounds because it's not hard to do.
I mean, maybe.
In fairness, the bloodhound isn't running 40 miles an hour.
True.
But, absolutely. But you're not trying to catch it quickly. Yeah. I mean, you're just trying to track it.
But also, I don't know too many reptiles that are running 40 miles per hour for any kind of sustained period.
Right.
you know, while tracking something by scent.
Yeah.
Also running in front of a big ass truck. Anyway. So
at this point, we might as well have bloodhounds that have been crossbred with tigers or something, just chasing them down.
Cringer?
Yes.
Aunt Claire locks the two boys in the back of an APC, and then they go and they find,
go to watch this mayhem.
Yeah, they find the Indominus Rex. The raptors find it, and they get their weapons out. At least they're using guns, and at least one guy has a rocket launcher, and they seem somewhat prepared. Why you have laser sights to hit something the size of a building? I don't know.
I think it was just they had laser sights.
Just because you're obligated to have laser sights.
Right, yeah.
To show they're aimed at it or what? Yeah, whatever.
And also, they're running around with MP5s, and it's like you should have hunting rifles or something high caliber.
AR-15.
Something like... Well, even even an AR-15, I don't know. I would because it's the size of a building, you could sacrifice some control.
Yeah, but if Jurassic Park is anything, it's all about style over practicality.
Indeed.
You, well, if that's the way we're going, what was that gun they were using at the end of RoboCop? Let's get with, that's
yeah, the Cobra assault cannon. Yeah,
yeah, okay. Just bring that fucker.
Well,
yeah,
you should at least have something like a grenade launcher or something like that. That's still mobile enough to, you know, to kick around with and like would blow up a big chunk of the Indominus Rex. But anyway,
oh, shotgun. You know.
Yeah, sure. Whatever. So the Raptors are looking at this Indominus Rex. He comes out. He's like, "Hey, that's your alpha over there, looking at Chris Pratt." He's like, "I'm like 200 times his size."
Yeah.
He's like, "Look at him, then look at me. Yeah. Look at him, look at me. Look at him, I got diamonds.
Who you rolling with?" Yeah.
Look at your tickets. Look at your alpha, now look back at me.
Yeah.
I am swole.
I'm not riding on a horse because I eat it. So the Raptors are like, "So it's been real."
Like, real quick, they're like, "You know, you're right."
This also didn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, I get what we're going for here, but it is just immediately just like a, "Yo, what's up, bro?" And they're just like, "Hey, what's up?" I'm like, "Yeah, you know how I've been killing everything? Not you guys."
Yeah.
Like, "All right, cool, let's roll." And like, it killed its brother. What the fuck?
Well, also, if I were that guy with that rocket launcher right here, just
bang. Bang. Yeah, oh, yeah. Just
you're done.
Yeah.
You're done.
But, I mean, yeah, but Chris Pratt was pretty adamant, "Do not shoot my Raptors." Yeah.
So, anyway,
plus none of them could put two and two together that it was part Raptor.
Well, hey, Chris Pratt's like, "Hey, now that I see them all sitting together, he looks like
it might be
part Raptor. They're talking. I think it's part Raptor, yo."
You know what? You can make more Raptors. What am I going to do about my legs?
And, you
Chris Pratt, you could, what am I going to do about my legs?
Yeah, you could have a simple point where he says that, and like one of the soldiers next to him is like, "You're just figuring that out now?" And it would be fine. But this movie slams it on with the gravitas like it's some big plot twist. Like, M. Night Shyamalan ran in there like, "It's a twist!"
Like, it is such a slow reveal. Like, they're even just like, "Wait, something's wrong." They're communicating.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I just figured, like, "No, we get it. We get it. Fucking move. Yeah. Let's go."
It's a B movie reveal. All
right. Yeah. So now the Raptors are like, "We're just going to run in the woods real quick, and now we're surrounding you."
Yeah.
We're just the killing starts.
Go ahead and kill all of you. Yeah.
And, you know, of course, the guys, they don't know what's up. They're like, "Let's just separate and let them kill us one by one rather than, you know, back to back and just shoot everything that moves."
Yeah.
Nope.
We've learned nothing about their strategy so far.
I do like at least that one Raptor, like Chris Pratt's like, "Hey, you know, don't eat me, bro." And he's like, "I'm thinking about it." And he's like, "No, I think I could talk you down." And then the guy with the rocket launcher's like, "Fuck it." Yeah. Blows him up.
No, Raptor that no one in the audience could name if they had a gun to their
head. Nobody.
No, maybe Delta. I don't know. Maybe Echo. All right. So that's it. They kill the soldiers. I don't even remember how Chris Pratt gets away.
He just does.
Yeah. And whatchamacallit. So this is when the Raptors, now they're attacking the his buddy that's been with him the whole movie. He like hides in a log and a Raptor's attacking that. And like Chris Pratt comes in with the save. And now they're attacking the APC and that one dumbass just opens the back door.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you put the lock on that door.
Again, she's not very good with these kids.
Yeah. And so there's like a chase scene where they're going after the APC. Oh, it's all right.
I think it went a little bit too long.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
There wasn't anything egregious in it, I thought. Like, it was solid.
Yeah. The kids out there, They're poking it in the back with the stun baton,
yeah. The kids get to do a little more here, so that's good.
All right, so
this is the point where I believe the control room starts leaving,
mm-hmm.
and that one guy is like, "I'm gonna stay behind because whatever reason." And I'm just like,
Larry,
like the not all the customers are gone yet. You shouldn't be leaving at all.
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong? Yes.
Well, I think at this point, all the customers were in the evac area and out of the park proper.
Mm-hmm. I think they were on that part that's out in the water which I imagine that you can lock down still.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that wasn't very
just
clear.
For boats at this point.
Okay.
Yeah, because the park proper is empty, which is where they all run to
now.
Like,
you don't need to keep the Sparrow open at this point. Yeah.
No, certainly not. But
I could have used a dinosaur trash in the Sparrow.
One was supposed to throw it into the Mongolian grill.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
Just exploded. Anyway, so I like how Larry, he goes for like that final kiss on the lady, and she's like, "Yeah, I got a boyfriend."
Yeah.
Like,
that was awesome.
Yeah, this isn't
she's
cool.
Like, do we just work together? Like, what?
What's this? What's happening here?
You never talked about him? Yeah, because that worked. Like,
yeah,
fuck,
I'm professional.
I think that is both to make up for earlier and to prove Rob's point of, if you're not Chris Pratt, this isn't working out. You can't just do that shit.
Because, yeah. I mean, if it's Chris Pratt, she could just go home to her boyfriend and be like, look, I kissed a guy, but it was Chris Pratt.
I kissed Chris Pratt.
And he's like, you didn't bring him back here?
Yeah.
Like, what about me?
He'd be like, all right, I'll be okay with that. But to make it fair, you need to get us together so I can kiss Chris Pratt.
Wait, you didn't wash your face, right? So if I kiss you, it would be kind of like I kiss Chris Pratt.
It's like, all right, so to make amends, you know, we're going to do it, and I'm going to pretend you're Chris Pratt.
I'm going to kiss you, and we're going to high five at the same time.
Yeah.
I want you to use your mouth so I can pretend it's Chris Pratt.
No, right. Wow.
Anyway. Wow. So this Dr. Wu here takes the embryos and they get out of there on on a helicopter. So that can be somewhere in a sequel.
Yeah.
And then this is when they go in the lab? Because they just left the lab
open.
The lab's
and wide open.
Yeah.
Even his secret room is wide open too.
Yep.
Oh, he don't care. He's out.
Yeah.
Which I would argue, like in Blade the other week, like, this is when you scrub your hard drives and blow shit up.
Yes.
This guy just bounces.
Well, this room should be set up that a fire can accidentally happen in it.
Right.
Yes.
Although, you're in all the evidence of any ongoings.
He's probably assuming between the jungle and the dinosaurs it's going to be done regardless.
I mean, the thing is,
I wouldn't leave that to chance.
Like, he may not even have this information on the computer at the park.
On the screen,
it had a screensaver of the Indominus, sure, but that doesn't mean anything. Yeah. Like, he, because obviously the head honcho of the whole place, Ms. Ronnie, had no idea what this thing was made of. Like, you'd think he could be able to just access the information.
Well, look, he also didn't have access to that back room.
Yeah, it's the secret, super secret room,
right? Man. So, like, once he took all this stuff, who knows, like, what's even left? He could just pull the hard drives right out and take it.
Regardless.
All right.
I mean, I'm not. Yeah. I don't. It doesn't matter.
No, yeah, honestly, you're defending your love. We know.
So anyway, so Hoskins, he's like, blah, blah, I'm evil, all the potential heroes, blah, blah, blah. And then a raptor's like, hey, buddy.
It's so, sudden. He's like, what's up?
Well, I liked it because he starts to go into that evil monologue and he's just like, because we all know no matter what we do, nature is to, oh, fuck! Like, just interrupted monster time. All right, here's a raptor.
I remember you. You kept trying to touch me when I was locked up.
Yeah.
You're a little fuck that kept throwing rocks at me in the pen. I know you. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And he just kills him till he dies from it.
Yeah.
Like, bites his arm and fucks him up.
He kills him till he dies from it.
I would have liked to have seen all of them tear him apart.
Mm-hmm. That would have been nice.
Like, if that was the Raptor reunion that happens outside the park.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, if Hoskins was doing some evil, I got to kill you now to cover this up or something like that. And then, then the Raptors all show up to...
That would have been... Or at the very least, let's kind of... You got Blue... Let's have one other that kind of stands out and have him mess with that one more than the others. And that's the one that shows up to do this. It would have been more justification. And maybe that's kind of what happened. But again, we couldn't tell Alpha from Omega. So who the fuck knows?
I think it was Delta that killed him.
It's very possible. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you.
It was one of the Raptors.
Yeah.
I know that.
So either way, Indominus shows up now.
Yeah.
Like, you.
And he's like, hey, buddies. Kill these people. And the Raptors are like, that's Chris Pratt. I don't know if I want to.
Well, yeah, we kind of get a touching moment here with Chris Pratt and Blue. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to talk her down. He takes the stupid little helmet thing off her and he's like, you're free now, girl.
So you don't have to be a dino rider anymore. Why aren't you?
But yeah, he kind of lets her loose so that when the Indominus shows up and is like, let's fuck him up. She's like, I don't know. He's kind of cool.
Can I keep him?
Like, so the Indominus douche punches this rat.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you're not listening to me, then fuck you. Knocks her into a wall. Yeah,
I mean, that's what Alpha would do, though. Like,
yeah, also, yeah. Like, it's bred from a T-Rex, which we've established has infinite hatred.
But, yeah.
And, like, his patience just ran out. Yeah, like, the yeah. raptor side of him lost out. The T-Rex was like, look, we haven't killed anything in, like, 2 minutes.
So the other raptors are like, all right.
Yeah, it's on now.
I know you're, yeah. like, 20 times the size of us, but rawr?
Yeah, they start climbing all over him and scratching us.
Together we are mighty. Scratching.
Yeah, it does not go well.
No. As we said, one gets barbecued. I think the other one just gets thrown through a wall or something.
Yeah, they're getting kicked around and thrown around or whatever.
And like Owen's shooting his little carbine rifle at the Indominus. That's not doing anything.
It's like, fuck you.
Yeah. And so Claire's like, I has the solution.
Because one of the kids goes, need more teeth. We need more teeth.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I know someone with a bunch of teeth. Like,
mm-hmm.
And now this is one of those ones where you're like, of course, that's how this has to end.
Of course.
But at the same time, you're like, yeah, of course, this is how it
yes.
has to end.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah,
course.
As contrived as that is, I cannot complain about no, what transpires here. No,
this is the
best
thing ever.
Yeah.
Like, of course.
Yeah, this is kind of the worst and the best.
So here's where the movie's like, guys, you had to deal with a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to reward you.
This is where we were going, though. Yeah. So... strap in.
Mm.
Remember Jurassic Park 3 where he made T-Rex look like an asshole?
Mm.
Don't worry about time. It.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
We got you.
Oh, this is also one where I was just like, really? Because, like, apparently the T-Rex pen opens up into the gift shop? Is that basically what we're dealing with?
It opens up backstage.
Yeah.
Like.
Okay.
Yeah.
At this point, the movie's like, look, we're gonna make them fight. Just.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Just give it
whatever.
To us.
Whatever.
From now, just
it's like
that.
She's in heels. She's outrunning it somehow. Who cares?
Yeah. Like, really. Like,
she's sweaty and glistening and running. Like, what else are you going on, guys?
You know, so she throws the flare at the Indominus Rex. The Indominus Rex looks up like, who's this? And, like, T-Rex is like, I'm your worst nightmare.
Smashes through the Spinosaurus skeleton, no less.
Good call. You know, I forgot about that.
Yeah. It's like... what is this shit?
Yeah.
Already redeemed myself from that third movie.
Get this fake ass alligator out of my face.
I'm still here.
Yeah. I'm about to wreck some shit.
And, you know, some kaiju breaks out. It's pretty awesome.
In my head, like, I'm not picturing the park. I'm picturing, like little buildings. And they're like...
Oh, yeah. City, like, might as well.
Oh, yeah. It is that. All over.
I bet that somewhere that the animators took this and put it in a little city. Like,
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the animators were also... or the movie makers were still like, well, you know, the Indominus is our big baddie. Still gotta be, you know, gotta get the upper hand.
In fairness, you know, it has... arms.
It does. It does have arms. But the thing is, like...
bigger mouth.
The Rex had the element of surprise.
Yep.
T-Rex also has... the most powerful bite of any animal known.
Until now.
In history. Well, it's part raptor, so it could have more of a raptor bite. It had more of a raptor face than
true,
a T-Rex face.
True, yeah.
But T-Rex, like, because it shows a T-Rex come up and, like, bite the Indominus right on the neck.
First, yeah.
It would have torn that whole neck just out.
It's got to get its heat in on the fight.
Oh,
like,
yeah. So, yeah, no, I get it.
Also, but I'm just you're dealing with... you know,
this
imaginary dinosaur physics.
This
so
is my fanboyism.
I get that. Yeah.
Pure
but
and simple. Like, I'm unapologetic about that. It's fine.
But also, we have the problem of the big star of the first one was the T-Rex. But everybody also loves the raptors, who we've built up to this whole
And
movie.
You're my boy, Blue. So we got to get there.
And we got a new guy that we want to flagship. So he'll get a shot in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Deus Ex. But... so yeah, the T-Rex and the Indominus are going at it. Indominus does get the upper hand, knocks Rex down. You're like, oh crap, it's gonna happen again. I'm gonna get the Spinosaurus moment. I'm gonna have to leave angry again.
Here comes Blue with a run in.
Yeah, freaking Blue.
Yeah, we just hear from the side corner, like, get away from her, you bitch. Yeah, it might as well have talked at this moment. It was so
Blue comes in and doesn't do any damage, but distracts this piece of shit long enough for Rex to be like, all right, Rocky.
Hey, yeah, remember all that damage you gave me? It charged up my power meter.
Yeah. I'm about to Balboa your ass.
Yeah.
And grabs this thing by the head and throws it into a building.
He like puts in his combo.
Oh yeah, it's, yeah, he's got.
It's again, badass.
Yeah,
and again, because everything is just like 3 feet away from this hibachi grill and the Sbarro's, it throws him into this one little fence that was apparently that's all that's separating you between this giant tank where we're keeping the model.
All right, we are
Mosasaurus,
continuing to ignore the fact that these animals weigh 5+
yeah,
tons.
They could barrel through barricades.
Yeah, like know. Humans are not getting over the barricade, and the barricade could have been 6 feet tall, you know, or more.
That's fair.
And it looks like the Mosasaur also is not one that goes hunting outside of the water, so you don't have to worry too much about that.
Although, except this time.
Except this time.
He goes hunting right outside of the water.
Before, it probably couldn't see past the bear, so it didn't even know humans were over there. But
I'm just saying, you got a whole island. Let's spread things out a little, guys. Yeah.
Well, so this Phacosaurus Rex is chilling out by the side of the water.
Yeah, he's trying to regain his footing.
Like, he's like, all right, that was a good beating, but now I'm back up.
I'm on the ropes, but I'm still in this, guys.
About to use all my stupid X-Men powers on you. And this giant freaking Loch Ness
alligator whale.
Jesus
alligator whale.
Yes. Alligator whale. Yeah. This giant alligator whale. This Mosasaurus just comes up out of the water and is like, snack. Yeah.
I got you, bitch.
Swoop. Grasped.
It's like drown so I can eat you.
We're finally done with that. And we kind of just get the T-Rex looking at the that blue here. And he's just like, no.
I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah, they signed a piece of cord. They're like, shit. Nah, I can't.
Like, right, I didn't realize Tony told me that it's the same T-Rex from all the movies, apparently.
Yeah, well, the first
Jurassic from the first Jurassic Park. Anyway, yeah. So it's old as fuck, and it's just like tired. It's like, I'm going to go back to my cage. Right? I'm going to get fed. I'm going to be good.
I'm probably going to die in a year. Like,
I'm tired.
I'm already at the end of my lifespan.
I want to chase y'all. I'm
just going to take a stroll around the park, see what's up.
I'm full of hate, but like, I'm tired right now.
Well, I think that T-Rex has been around long enough that he's overcome his infinite hatred, or her infinite hatred, I should say, and is like, she's found her zen.
Plus, I think there was a moment where it's like, you're a raptor, huh? And puts a little paw on that scar on its face, like, all right, I don't want to do this again.
If she could reach her face. she's like, I've killed a bunch of raptors already. I don't need any more notches on that belt.
Exactly.
Mm. All right, so, basically, like, the survivors reunite back in the into a hangar somewhere, and the parents come and pick them up, and looks like things are happier with the family. And then you get a nice closing shot of the T-Rex just kind of plodding around, just getting on top of the control room, like, this is my island.
Yeah,
I own this.
I'm in control here, and just lets out a victory roar.
Like, it's the best roar in the movie, and like the Indominus Rex's roar is garbage.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. It's like,
well, yeah, it's kind of weakened by the raptor in it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Because they knew. They were like, we're going to end this movie.
It has to be the T-Rex, because that's what everybody's waiting for. And that's it for Jurassic World from 2015. Okay, so on RottenTomatoes.com, critics gave this a score of 71%. Audience gave this a score of 78%. That's their thoughts and opinions. What about you and yours, Brian?
This movie gives me just what I want. Like, so there are things about this movie that I hate. Chris Pratt's one of them. Not because I hate Chris Pratt. I hate that character. The one he does nothing wrong in the entire movie. Like, I can't stand that in a movie. But for this movie, for these kind of movies, it works. Like, because you're not supposed to think too hard about you know, the main guy. Because I like how you put it. It's a B movie. It's a B movie monster movie. So like, it makes sense for this. So this is what you're gonna get. It gives you just what you need, and then you're out. Like, this was when I first started not seeing previews before movie trailers. So when I went into this fully blind, and so it was a good experience to go in fully blind, because like, I had no expectations, no nothing. So it literally just gave me just what I needed. To this day, still, it's just enough. It moves by quickly. It's long, but goes by pretty quickly, and it's a fun watch for me. Like, I still enjoy it. I say watch it.
All right, Joe.
I think this movie, the critic and user reviews are about right, where it encapsulates, like, I'm going to guess 3/4 of this podcast is going to recommend it. I am not. It is a good movie, but it is not what I want in a movie at all. As such, like, it did too many things that made me ask questions that I can't not ask, and I can't turn my brain off enough to just sit back and enjoy the dinosaurs, where I need it to be more in a movie of this scale. So, I mean, and like, the dinosaurs were cool, but the, like, I wanted some better characters. I wanted the story to be not the very first thing I would think of when I was sitting down to write this movie. I couldn't tell you what would be better, but I didn't want what was here, and it made me kind of mad. So it made it hard to enjoy the good parts of this movie. That being said, that fight at the end is fucking awesome. Like, you do have to at least see that. And I think most people are going to enjoy this movie, but it's just one of those movies that I can't.
All right, Rob.
So for me, this is like a palate cleanser movie. So the first Jurassic Park was majestic. It made you believe that science could, like, bring dinosaurs back, and it had all the gravitas of that. There were stupid parts in it, don't get me wrong, but it's a movie that I can go back to time and time again and still kind of get that feeling. Jurassic Park 2 did not have that feeling for me. That was like a drag of a movie. I think they focused too, they did exactly what they didn't want to do in the first movie, and they turned the dinosaurs into monsters. They tried to make them A, sympathetic characters, with the whole scene with the capture of the dinosaurs. And then once they went to California, they turned the dinosaurs straight up into movie monsters, which is what Spielberg said he didn't want to do with the first movie. And then with the third movie, they went straight up their own ass with the whole science of it and trying to be too smart about it, while at the same time being rock stupid, in the way that a lot of movies that came out in that time period were. Like, it's like, oh, we need to over-explain things, and oh, now we have, you know, raptors. This is how they communicate and all this other nonsense, and eggs, and blah, 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 blah. So this was kind of like, it's Jurassic Park. We know we can't recreate the first movie. We know we want to have dinosaurs. We want to make it fun and enjoyable and accessible for a new audience. So let's create a monster that we can have these animals interact with and have it separate. And for me, the Jurassic Park parts recaptured some of the feelings that I got. Like, when I was in the theater watching this, I felt like I was a little kid again watching the first Jurassic Park movie for a lot of scenes. And for the monster, like the monster movie parts, the Indominus Phacosaurus Rex, I felt like I was watching a B-monster movie. And it was just that combination of things that I just enjoy, because I am the type of person that when I watch a movie, I do want to kind of shut off and just, I use movies as an escape rather than, you know, to try and enlighten, I guess. Mm-hmm. So for me, I find this very watchable, and I find it very enjoyable. So I'm definitely going to recommend this movie. It's by no means perfect. I have a ton of problems with it. There are a lot of parts that are just really dumb, but it's a movie that I feel knows what it's going for and just sticks to that and is unabashedly like going for a certain audience, certain type of movie, and I think it hits that.
Okay. For me, I'm closer to being on the fence. I ultimately will recommend it, because I think it is, if you can get into the mindless fun aspect, it's certainly there. Like, again, as Joe mentioned, the end scene and everything with the you know, dinosaurs fighting, it's very cool. It's fun to watch. The rest of it, I like I said, I'm on the fence. It's got a lot of problems, and you keep saying, you know, it's a B movie and that's what they wanted to do or whatever. But, like, I feel like that's the problem. They didn't quite go there. They mentioned earlier on, like, you know, B.D. Wong's character is like, you know, oh, you're acting as if we're mad scientists, but, like, they are. And he even has a secret lab where he's doing this, but they never give into that. But they should have. Not
that's
really.
Kind of the irony of his statement is that.
But not really. Like, I'm saying, if that's what you're doing, let's go balls out crazy. Let's have the dinosaurs in it more. Let's have, you know, let's have it shooting lasers out of its eyes or whatever. Like, let's go full out crazy. It wouldn't be good for a Jurassic Park movie, but I'm saying, if you want to go crazy with it, go crazy with it. And they're trying to straddle a line between a smart action movie, more like the original Jurassic Park, and a crazy B movie where you're just having dinosaurs fight, and it's just kind of not enough of either for me. Like I said, though, it's still entertaining enough that I would recommend it, but yeah, it is one where you gotta shut your brain off. If you're better at doing that, you'll enjoy it all the more. If you have problems with doing that like Joe, you might not enjoy it so much. But yeah, ultimately, it's a recommend. So that's 3 out of the 4 of us. So we're recommending Jurassic World.
So around the table, where would you guys rank this as far as sequels?
Well, in the Jurassic Park franchise? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's obviously number 2.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's not a... It's not a contest. Yeah.
But the difference for you, like, it's because it's really good for most of, or at least I'm thinking from this side of the table, it wins by default. So
yeah, I mean, this one's still, like, there's reasons I'd go back and watch it. 2 and 3, I won't go back and watch unless you force me to.
Yeah. So for $20, you can...
We're not doing that again regardless. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so recommendations for this week is Jurassic World. And what do we have next week, Brian?
This copyrighted music brought to you by...
Yes. That ain't copyrighted.
I knew it was coming.
They're not sure where they are in the song.
Either. Oh my god.
Was that the one just with the movie behind it?
Yeah, just the movie behind it.
My favorite, if you haven't seen it, is where it cuts to that part, but it's all the people in those T-Rex costumes just flopping around in the field.
Oh man. Sorry about that. That was funny. Right.
That's fine.
It's that D20 fate time. Get to roll that die to see what we have to watch next. It is Joe's turn.
Yeah.
Guess who's not phoning it in this week?
Yeah.
I'm glad we were able to genetically reconstruct you so you could be here to roll.
Sorry, after I'm done, I'm just going to go outside and get eaten by a raptor.
Now you can turn invisible, though.
Oh, here it comes. Oh, it's a 17.
17. What do we got? What'd you roll today? Okay, 1992's Alien 3.
Wow,
really?
It's going to be...
okay.
An interesting one.
Yeah.
Some people, I know people who say this is the best one to franchise.
What?
They are wrong, but like they do say that.
Okay. All right. Is it just because it's, what is it, Peter Lynch that did this one?
Who did? I don't know. I mean,
directed this one.
I don't know. It's a good movie, but it's not. It ain't no Alien.
I forget on that one. Yeah, but by that point, even the Alien movies weren't Alien movies. So that's just.
Either way.
So, we're going to blame Rob for bringing up Weyland Yutani on this particular episode.
Well, that's right, I did.
Yeah, you did.
You did.
All right. All right. But, speaking of Rob, what else we got for the people, Rob?
Well, guys, next week we got Alien 3, so you should definitely join us for that. In the meantime, if you want to hear any of our older episodes, you can find all of them at 4ampodcast.podbean.com. You can find our archives, as well as ways that you can support the show via either sponsoring an episode or just giving us a donation or buying some swag on Teespring.
Get some of that sweet merch.
That's right. And, of course, if you enjoyed that, please consider subscribing. We have a new episode every week. Please help spread the word about the show by leaving a positive review on iTunes and liking us on Facebook, following us on Twitter. You can do all of that at 4AM Podcast. And, of course, if you'd like to contact us by email, you can do so at the4ampodcast@gmail.com.
All right. So, thank you for joining us for Jurassic World. We hope you'll join us all next week for Alien 3. Until then...
Deuces.
Later, guys.
Adios.
Good night, everybody.